Be part of a nation with so many blessings. We ask that you bless and protect those who protect our freedom and keep us safe. Let there be peace in the country of Ukraine. We pray for our elected leaders in a national, state, and local level, particularly tonight, the trustees and leaders of Holiday Park. Give them wisdom to make good decisions, courage for hard decisions, strength for the hard road set before them. As residents, we ask for a spirit of unity that we can partner with the leadership of Holiday Park and advance the quality of life for all of our residents at Holiday Park. In your holy name, we ask this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Pledge allegiance. Roll call, please.
I want to apologize for my squawky voice. You're lucky I have one. I haven't had one for the last week. Richard Brooks, chairman.
Here.
Carol Summers, secretary, present. Keith Richter, treasurer.
Here.
Paul Goblick, assistant Here. Secretary.
Here.
Gary Vincent, second vice president.
Here.
Karen Allen, first vice president. Here. Mark Boda, assistant treasurer.
Present.
And Terry Steimer, trustee.
Here.
We are also joined tonight by Cherie Morris, the district manager, and we do have a Palm Bay police officer, Mr. Officer Vasquez, is present.
Thank you.
He's not worried.
I want to, because of the crowd and the number of questions I'm sure will be coming up, I'm invoking the 3-minute one time per item in effect tonight, at least until we get through all the work items. And then when we bring up Earl, which I'm sure is what all you're waiting for, we will probably set that aside. But please be respectful of other people that want to speak. Because of the amount of requests for confidential information that's gone about, we've now have to contact a lawyer. And whenever we're in doubt whether or not we can provide confidential information and how much we have to redact, we will be contacting the lawyer. Of course, this is costing the park money. We have to make sure we're not giving out the wrong information. And unfortunately, in the past, we have. We've asked Spectrum to reconsider, so there won't be any discussion on Spectrum tonight, at least I hope. We've asked them to rethink their proposal. I mean, for me, who were a full-time resident, it's a great package. For the rest of you that leave here, not so much. And my feelings is that we represent everybody. I want you to note on the way out, either tonight or tomorrow, there's a note from Manpower posted on the board. It reads, read it. It'll show you that people outside of this park have respect for your district manager more so than some do in this park. Okay, that's all I need to say. I don't want to keep it going. We have a letter of intent from Annette Bragas. And I want to say before she comes up is, Annette's original letter was reconsider the previous one that she submitted. That was voted on, and it was rejected. We cannot bring up the same one. So I asked Gary to talk to Annette And she graciously rewrote a new one. So there's no way anybody can say if she, you know, there's just no way that anybody can say that she got on the board or off the board with false pretenses. And I appreciate that, Annette. So you want to come up and read it, or
secretary,
or
well, the secretary?
I can read her letter. This February 17th, 2022, to the Board of Trustees of Holiday Park. Please accept this letter of intent to be given consideration to be placed on the board. I do hope you will give me a chance to prove myself as a hardworking and helpful resident who wants the best for our community. I hope to join the board and look forward to working with the trustees, the district manager, and the residents. Thank you sincerely, Annette Regas.
Trustee comments?
Yes.
You can't do comments unless the motion is in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yes.
So I would like to move that we accept Annette Regas' letter of intent to be placed on the board.
I'll second.
Who seconded? Mr. Boda.
Trustee comments?
Chair. For the last couple of months, I've had a lot of opportunities to speak with Annette. We've literally spent a few hours together. And I found her to be very easy to talk with about all the various issues in this park, all the, just everything. And we did not have a single moment of a difficult conversation. She's really easy to talk to. She believes in compromise, and she's a great listener. And I know she would, I personally think she'd make a great trustee, but I do want to read. Holiday Park, and I know why that's true. Once we bought our home and moved in, I learned that Holiday Park is undeniably divided. Last year, not nearly enough residents were willing to be trustees. During the last year, not enough of the trustees on the shorthanded board were willing to accept a position on the board, as three of the seven positions were left unfilled. I decided to try to become a trustee to help change the negatives that exist. Perhaps because the trustees were repeatedly reminded by Carol Summers of the need to fill all the positions on the board, and maybe because Terry Steimer let us know he would resign if forced to accept a position, in addition to everything he does, we are starting out this year with all seven of the positions filled. This is a positive change. All eight trustees have accepted a variety of assignments to help improve Holiday Park. The board no longer has any do-nothing-but-vote trustees. This is another positive change. We are currently one trustee short of a full board. Many residents believe that they are not represented well by the makeup of the current board. I believe we can take a major step toward uniting Holiday Park by seating Annette Regas on the board. Let us settle our differences during our meetings instead of allowing our disagreements to continue to go unresolved. The best reason to seat Annette Regas is because it could provide Holiday Park with an opportunity to help bridge the divide and unite us as a community. Imagine for a moment the sense of joy and optimism that will sweep through this room in Holiday Park if we vote to give Annette a chance to serve Holiday Park as a trustee. Please consider the best case scenario. If we see Annette Regas, do not be afraid to try it. It could have some very positive effects on our community. Thank you for giving me my chance. Please give Annette Regas a chance now. Thank you.
Any other trustee? Mark?
Mark Bottle, 121 Holiday Park. for someone to continually put their name out there and want to serve the community and be rejected is very, very difficult. And I applaud Annette continuing to put her name out there. And I think she would be great for this board because she is not of the same mind as everybody on the board. And we need that. We need that difference of opinion and different thinking. Thank you.
I've spoken on behalf of Ms. Regas before. Although there are times that Annette is very stubborn and hard-headed and argumentative in our meetings, that is something that we should applaud because she is of different mindset. She brings fresh, different ideas. She thinks outside the box, and we quite often get stifled, and we need that courage. Is she perfect? No, but are any of us?
We try that. And that's what the elections are for in November, is to get people to get out and convince people to show up and do their duties and vote for people at that time. Okay, I know there's situations that are not filled right, and the board has to decide what they think most of the residents want to do. And so that, and I agree, we get, it's nice to have people come to the meeting and express their opinion. We also have to consider other people's opinion. Because if we put in things for them, and I get so many comments about, what are you guys thinking about? Well, everybody here in the meeting wanted it. But that's not everything.
My big problem is I'm not saying she wouldn't be good on the board. My big problem is when things don't go her way. She's very
Am I too loud? Okay, I'm here to speak a little bit for Annette. The bylaws were changed in 2021. We used to have term limits. You could be on the board 3 terms, 6 years total. Well, the board decided to change that. What happened is they got a committee together, and the committee decided they would abolish that you could be on the board as long as you wanted. Well, I was inquisitive about that, so I went to one of the committee members, and I asked him, why did you change that? And this person said, because we have a problem getting people on the board. I said, oh, okay. So in January, Annette put her letter of intent in to be on the board because there was one opening. At that time, the board voted her down. And that confused me because it's like we have a problem wanting the people to get on the board, but when somebody wants to get on the board, you decide not to let them on the board. The board voted totally to keep her off. Now, the next meeting, somebody asked, why did you vote not to put her on the board? And somebody said, 13 people came to me and said they didn't want her on the board. Well, I have a petition here. It reads as follows. Petition to have Annette Regas fill a vacancy seat on the Port Malabar Holiday Park Recreation District Board of Trustees. Annette is a longtime resident of Holiday Park with a sincere desire to serve the community, address residents' concerns, and have transparency in a day-to-day operations. One of Annette's goals is to make this a happy place for employees to work. Well, you're 13. I have 65.
How many of them are registered voters in Florida? How many are registered voters?
These
in
are.
Florida?
You don't have to be a resident voter. What you have to be, this is our. Can I talk?
Sure, when ahead.
I'm talking, then you can talk all you want.
I will.
Okay. But this is our community.
Bob. Chairman.
Bob, I do owe you an apology. I'm sorry.
We always say, speak with respect.
Yeah. And sorry, Bob. I did.
Okay, I accept it. But this is our community. We're actually the CEOs. You're the board of trustees. That's an employee.
That's correct.
Okay? Understand that part. So I have 65. It doesn't matter whether they vote or not. What matters is we are homeowners in here. We own this. This is 65. I'm going to show you something right now. Let's see what happens. Would you please stand up if you would like to see Annette on the board? Is that enough proof for you? So,
thank you.
I'm not finished yet. Okay. All right. Now, what we're going to see tonight is.
Bob, what, your time's up.
Pardon me? No, you took some of my time away.
I gave you extra time, Bob.
Did you give me extra time because you took some of it away?
I gave you extra time.
Okay, thank you. And in conclusion, we're going to find out tonight if you people on the board are going to vote for what the people, the owners want, or who you want on the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Karen Carrero, 181 Holiday. I just have a few things to say. There's definitely a divide in this park, and it breaks my heart. The divide is the size of the Grand Canyon. And one of the problems is when we come to this board meeting and we see an empty seat, and one of our residents, woman resident, would like to serve this community, and she's turned down. There's 8 board members that if she steps out of line or gets cocky or whatever, you have the power to make her leave the board, to vote her off the board. Why not give her a chance? You put the first brick in the bridge that this community needs, and this community needs that seat filled. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Joan, did Earl come with you?
Yes.
Thank you.
I just want to clarify
Whoa.
But you can't do it twice.
What Keith said, Keith makes it sound like it was only the employees and the residents in the park that voted for Annette. That was open to all of Brevard County. Who doesn't know Annette? So I don't think...
No, it's not.
That was my understanding that...
You have to be a resident? Yeah. You have to be a... To vote in our elections, you have to be a resident of this park, and you have to be a resident of Florida, a resident with the ability to vote in Florida. So
okay,
it's,
my understanding yeah. that anybody in Brevard County could vote in that election.
If they are a Florida resident.
I believe it was Bruce found out that that was not true, if I'm not mistaken. But thank you, Joan.
Okay, Pam Hefferman, 326 Holiday Park. Again, in reference to Keith's remark, 75% of this community are not residents of Florida. So the vote really doesn't represent the residents of this park. So Annette should be on here, because if I could have voted last year, I would have voted for her, but I couldn't. I was a New York resident until this year. But now, next year, I will vote.
Yeah, well, good. We're glad. Who's next? Come on, you got more of you. Way back there. Three minutes. Come on up, and you can't all be stopped already. No more. Okay. It's time for a vote. All in favor of having Annette on the board, please raise your right hand. All opposed?
Hello.
You want that one, Valerie?
Is anybody there? Yeah, who's in charge of technology? Good question.
I know they should have this stuff figured out.
I can hear you, but I'm not on the board. Me either. Where is everybody? I have a blank screen.
Are you recording this?
This is horrible.
That's a good one.
Anybody there? Is anybody there that can fix the Wi-Fi? Hello?
Someone on Zoom will have a question.
Well, we'd love to be able to watch it if we could. You keep blocking us out.
Treasurer's report, please.
We don't know what happened in the last 3 minutes.
Oh, we did pass the last minutes. I'm sorry. We're moving on to the treasurer's report.
They weren't out right away, but if you had, I put a bunch of reports here and a bunch back there on the kitchen ledge if you want to follow along. Basically, the treasurer's report is just a summary of how we're doing overall. And the top number is what our budget, how much money we are raising for our budget, which is $1,330,808. Okay, that's what we'll be collecting. Now, January, this is our total income in January. It was $59,465. Our total expenses in January were $115,243. Therefore, this month we spent $55,778 more than we brought in. However, we have brought in, again, I'll repeat, we bring in the majority of our money from November through January. So it starts, then now the expenses are going up a little more. Now, year to date, you can see that. That means all the way from September till the end of January. Total income has been $1,050,851. We are anticipating in just a mere $279,957 left of our total that's at the top. So as you can see by the last one, within our 4 months, if we're on track, we should have 33% of our money. But you'll notice we have 79% of our money in. So they're paying in ahead. Now, total expenses, $544,696. Anticipating we still have another $786,112 left in our budget. Okay, as you can see, again, because of our sidewalks and paying on that project that was done last year, we're paying on it this year, we're over the 33% we should be at, and we're at like 41% this spent. But a lot of that is our sidewalks being built and some of that. And at the end, you'll see the liquid assets is all the money we have. The liquid assets are all the money we have in the bank accounts and stuff. $1,666,572. Question.
The sidewalks have been paid for, correct?
Yes. They were paid for in November and October.
I'd like to make...
Just a second. Please, people, if you have a question, raise your hand, come to the mic. Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the report as presented and file it for annual audit. Second.
Okay, second it. All in favor? I think it's everyone. Okay.
Motion passed.
Thank you. District manager's report, please.
Good evening, everyone. I'm sure you've noticed the countertop and the sink in the lobby has been installed as well. The sink and the faucet. The kick plate has been installed. We're going to get some lighting that hangs down, three of those in the next week. The emergency lights have been hardwired across there between the restrooms. We are going to get a small holding tank for hot water. It's less than $250, and we can install that in-house. That will be under the sink. It's pretty similar to the hot water containers in both closets for the restrooms. Wayfair was to deliver the sink, and I just got tired of waiting for it. It was 3, 4, or 5 weeks late, so I just canceled the order and went to a store and bought one. The money was the same, pretty much. We rented a bush hog, actually reserved it 2 weeks ago. They picked it up today. We all will be cutting and removing the roots of the Australian pines in back of Burrell Circle grounds and storage compound where the big Australian pines are back there, in back of the clubhouse near the bocce courts, and other areas that may require the bush hog service. So we're going to get our use out of it. We'll see how much we need it. If we save enough money, we may be wanting to purchase one in the future. We'll see how much we get done in the next week and see how beneficial it is. But we really have a problem with these roots for the Australian pines. They've become a nuisance. April 1st, Flawless will begin mowing on a weekly basis. This past mow period was delayed. There were a bunch of residents who complained about lack of rain. And when they were mowing, they were just mustering up a bunch of dirt and dust. So as of April 1st, they will be on the weekly mowing schedule. The back pond was serviced. The aeration system is working great. The water is clear and fully stocked with healthy fish. I want to thank you all for not feeding the fish and the ducks back there. It truly has helped the pond. It's crystal clear. You could see to the bottom of it, and the fish are beautiful. It certainly has helped the ecological balance of all the wildlife back there. I have submitted a proposal for colored lighting for the lights at the entrance fountain. They're going to be blue if the board approves it, and there's a 3-year warranty on the lights. And the cost of that.
What are you looking for, the cost?
Yes, it's $1,100, Rick.
$1,158.50.
So, again, that's a 3-year warranty for the lights. Everyone's been asking about getting colored lights. I think it's going to be real pretty, but it is above my allocated amount of money to spend. So I'm asking the board if for their approval for these lights. I'm asking the board for approval for the lights.
Okay, well.
I just go follow protocol. I'm supposed to follow. Protocol submitting my invoice anyway.
So, one more and you're out.
So
I'm not tolerating it. We've got too much to talk about. Go out. Thank you, Annette.
This was I was asked by the residents who live in that area and several other in the park. I'm the messenger. This is your park. Again, I follow the direction of the board, and I'm presenting this to the board. So here you go.
All the members have a copy of this? Yeah. I want to do it through a proposal. I'd like to hear what y'all have to say out there. Can somebody make a proposal? We accept. So we can have a discussion if that's what they wish.
I'll make a motion. We accept the.
Okay. Someone second it?
Second it.
Okay. Any trustees have comments on it? I think it's a good idea, but.
Yes, I have a comment. Okay. I was reading through here and I saw something to the effect that if there was a problem, that we had to take the equipment or defective material. In reading through the terms and conditions of the service order, that if there was a problem with the equipment, that the park had to remove it and take it back to this company for repair. Who do we have that's qualified to remove that if there's a problem?
Which item number is that, please?
Maybe it'd be a good idea just to table this until the next meeting. Because we really want to get moving along.
Okay.
Guess nobody cares. Yeah. While we're waiting for Mark to find one.
Thank you.
I'm going to suggest we table this until the next meeting. I hope somebody will agree with me.
I make a motion we table this so we can read through it a little more. Till the next meeting, at least.
There's a motion on there. What do I do?
Do we need a motion?
You don't need a
motion. No, I don't need a motion. Just table.
You don't need a motion to table it. If the chairman asks the chair or anyone on the board asks the table, it can be tabled.
Okay.
Item number 3. It says the customer shall bear the cost of delivering such defective items to the lake doctors or manufacturer for repair. I'm asking who we have that's qualified to go in and take this out and return it so it can be repaired.
I've never had to deal with that, Mark. In response to your question, Lake Doctors has been with the company here a lot longer than I have, and we've never had a problem or we've never had to address that before. The lighting was brought to my attention, and I was asked by several residents why we didn't have colored lighting that in the past you always did. So I did some research, and this is just what I'm like I said, what I'm submitting to the board.
I understand that, but in the terms and conditions, what's stated here, so if we have a problem and Lake Doctors comes back and says, this time we're not coming in there to take care of it, who do we have that's qualified to take it out so that we can take it back for repair?
I can't answer that because we've never had that problem before. Lake Doctors has always done it for us. We can strike that out, or I can, if the board would like, I can address that with them and they can clarify it for us. But they've always taken care of our equipment.
I would agree. Yeah. I think we should table it based on the next statement, the next sentence after it says that. It says that we are just responsible for delivering to the Lake Doctors manufacturer. It says any repairs or altercations or alterations to the equipment nullifies the warranty. So if we're the ones that have to take it out, then we're nullifying the warranty. But, so I think we need to check on that and clarify that particular segment before we vote on it.
Before we table out, just being responsible, we don't need anybody qualified. All you got to do is pay Lake Doctors if they have to come out and take the equipment. I know they warned it, and they will replace it, but they may charge, like any other company does, a service charge to come out and do some work. If you do much air conditioning work or you do any of that, the things, parts are under warranty. Their service and labor is not. And that's a way you can cover that if you would like. But however, if you have somebody, you can. But that's I think that's the only thing they're doing. And most contracts, like you say, are written to cover the person who's doing the work. So and that's what they're doing there. And that's all. That's pretty much standard.
I just did this because I was requested. They asked for colored lighting. I think the lights are beautiful the way they are. That's my opinion. However, I was asked to do this, and there you go.
But I okay. I do believe we should table it.
We're going to table it then.
Perhaps Cherie could ask Lake Doctor, how much would they charge us to take it out, then have it serviced by the manufacturer, and then the Lake Doctor would have a charge to put it back in because they qualified. That way we just know what the number would be.
Okay. This item's tabled. We got to move along. I'm sorry, I didn't see you stand there. Do you want to...
I know, and the fountain is awesome. That's what I want. But you need to turn the central air down now because it's too hot in here. We're all sweating. So that's what I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you. I have no control on the central air.
I turned it down. As soon as my report is read, I'll fix the one in the back.
The one thing I would like to comment on now is just what he said here. Everyone in here is too hot. No, they're not. I'm not too hot. We like that term of saying everybody agrees or everybody knows. Please, you can say majority or you can say I've talked to several people. But we have gotten into so much trouble.
All right, let's get back on subject here, please.
All right, we continue.
Don't want to talk about Earl. I know that. We got to get through this.
We continue our quest for a printing company. We were able to purchase 5 cases of copy paper. That's 10 reams per case, 500 sheets per ream. We will offer the printing company the paper and pay them for the printing and the assembling of the books, of the About Us books, and then compare the cost of possibly doing it in-house. I will be available to work weekends or a couple weekends to bind the books once they're settled and everyone agrees on what the content of the books are. Storage compound decals must be renewed. This month will be going into March. We'll be inspecting all objects in the compound. All license tags, registrations must be current and both brought to the office in order to get your new 2022 decal. We will follow up with phone calls and letters. We are waiting for 2 more pool bids. We're shooting for March 28th workshop meeting. We have submitted all requested documents to the auditor. We're hoping to have the first audit draft by the middle of April. There are contracts out for the Palm Bay owned homes, 194 Holiday Park Boulevard, 146 Holiday Park Boulevard, and 254 Holiday Park Boulevard. These homes will be demolished, removed as soon as the applications are submitted and approved by the ACC. This will leave one Palm Bay home to go. That's 1285 Dove Court. I am diligently working on the disposition of 280 Blossom Lane, 1140 Floral Court, 628 Candle Court. Not necessarily in the order. It depends on the county and how far they are with their tax certificates, foreclosing, auctions, and so forth. But those 3 are under the radar right now. There may be 2 more that are really bad, but we're pretty much getting to the point where we're rid of most of the really bad derelict homes. When folks file a complaint, whether it be written, whether it be called in, if you don't sign your name to it, it will not be recognized. Thank you very much.
Sheree, I have a question. I want the phone number of the Flawless. I mean, I can't even have a meal without somebody coming to the door and asking me why wasn't there lawn mowed? Why was there a hole in my siding? And I turned a complaint in, but nothing's happened. My lawn's being cut at an inch and a half. And by the way, we did measure that. And when it's supposed to be what, 3.5 to 4? If they won't do it, we'll look for somebody else. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll have it for you after the meeting.
I'm sorry.
Could you refresh my memory, Sheree, on what the pool bids are for?
Pardon?
What the pool bids are for?
The pool bids, well, they're for resurfacing both of the pools, replacing the part of the decking and definitely the tiles. The tiles along the perimeter of the pools are chipped. You know, I keep getting after maintenance and blaming them, but I guess the old expression is it's like putting lipstick on a pig. All right. They're bad. They're really bad. And we are now having a problem finding the same color dye-lot as the original tiles. So with replacing the tiles around the apron, it'll look a lot better. So far, every pool company that I've talked to, NK, has suggested the resurfacing. Now, if you wanted to do the entire pool area, Carol has some experience with this as well. That's an option of just removing both pools and putting one big pool in. That's a heck of an expense. People have talked about a hot tub. That's a big expense as well and a liability. However, if you redo the two pools, resurface, which they're ready for, then we can incorporate a hoist, some type of lift, and we're still researching that, whether it be where you can use it for both pools. So we're still in the researching stages. We've done a lot of homework so far. So we're hoping by the 28th of March, we should have at least the bids. And it'll take a while. And what I would like to do is, I forget which job we did, but we sent the Board of Trustees out to each of the contractors' jobs. Each one of them were given three of the job, their past jobs, and they were able to talk to the owners, the POAs, or the districts to find out from them how they worked with them, what their callbacks were like, and so forth. So, you know, we're definitely going to do our homework. So we're still in the process of gathering all the information for the trustees.
Is this also going to take care of the mold problem?
I'm sorry?
Is this also going to take care of the mold problem?
Yes, of course. Yes. Yeah. Hopefully we'll have the drainage system working where we won't have standing water on the deck.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have a question or statement relative to your statement. And that is, I had a lady come up to me today while Juan and I were bush hogging this area back by the bocce ball courts today. And she said, are you cutting the trees down? And I said, we are not cutting the trees down. So when you mentioned that we were cutting some Australian pines, we're not cutting a full tree down.
Right.
What we're doing is we're cutting saplings and we're clearing the area, and that's all we're doing. Okay?
Thank you.
I have one question, too. Mark was saying something about the mold problem. I thought it was, from what I've been hearing, it's more of a dirt problem than a mold problem. Am I wrong? Did I hear?
I think Gary will point all that out. What? That's part of his thing.
I mean, is it? Yeah, the gutters aren't working, so the dirt's coming off the roof and then it's going onto the tile. I mean,
the drainage system is not working all that great. We do have a sump pump over by the showers. However, there's still some ponding in the back end of the pool area deck. And that's what we're mostly focusing on, is making sure that the drainage is correct. So when it's inevitable, it's outside, it's a deck, it's going to get dirty. If we have the proper...
But I want to know, dirt problems you can clean. Mold, you got to look a little more into. And all I'm asking is our problem. Are we having more of a mold problem or more of a dirt problem?
It's a mold problem. I had the samples taken and analyzed, and it's mold. It's not rubber off 95, or it's probably some dirt in there that gets blown around, ends up on the roof.
Thank you.
But we have a way of addressing that, and it's going to come up in a few minutes. Okay. Yeah. I do have a question about the countertop sink area. Is there a plan to provide free coffee at that spot? Someone was concerned about it because...
We're actually going to have a champagne fountain with fondue.
No, I was just wondering who was going to be making 20 pots of coffee and taking care of all that throughout the day if you start.
No,
that.
Gary.
Okay, good.
What we'd like to do is make it a reception area for ladies' lunches, for socials, sock hop. Just have a little reception area while people are waiting to get in. You're processing. You're getting your tickets. You're buying your 50-50 raffles. It just looks nice. And have a dispenser with water, with lemons, or whatever you want. It was moldy. It was disgusting. What was there? We replaced
it.
So you know what? Whatever you guys want to do there, whatever function you have, why don't you choose a theme or just leave it?
Sheree, we need to move on. If you have questions.
Mary Quirk, 379 Holiday Park. Do not, it should be out to send, to get the books done. These people want their books. I think we should send them out. Nobody here is going to, am I right? Nobody here is going to put these books together. You're talking 700 books? No way. Spend the money, get the project done, and get it out so people know what the hell is going on in this park.
Mary, how can I do that when there's opposition? We still
have. There's no opposition. You get them to approve it. It's done. We don't have a say, but I'm telling you, they want the books done. They've asked me to print it. I'm not printing.
I want them done, too.
Now. We want it done.
I want them done now, too. Give me some direction. I will do it. I'm ready.
I'm telling you.
Hold on.
What respect. Please. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Come on. Show a little respect, people.
We cannot.
Excuse me. If you give me direction, I can get it done, okay? You want to spend $12,000, $15,000, I don't mind. Just give me direction. Give me direction, and I will get it done ASAP.
Still too hot?
Paul Diamond, 291 Cheswick Circle. My friends know me as Koo. This question is for Sheree. In regards to the lift for the pools, how many of our neighbors and residents will that help? Putting a lift into the pools instead of putting a jacuzzi in.
Putting a who?
Jacuzzi.
Let me answer that for her, if I may. The problem is not Sheree or us. It's the American Disability Act. You ever hear of it?
Yes, I have.
Well,
I also know that there's numerous pools in Florida that don't have them.
All we have to do is have... Want to speak up? All we have to do is have one complaint. ADA will be in here fining us, and they will force us to do things. I know this as a fact because the previous park I lived in had it happen to them. And for whatever the lift was, they ended up spending at least three times more because ADA.
So what you're saying is we're going to do the lift for one neighbor. But we're not going to do a jacuzzi for all our neighbors.
I'm 100% with you. I wish it could be different. But
if you're going to do the lift, you should also take care of the rest of us and put a jacuzzi in. The idea is to improve the property value and the amenities in this park so our property values go up. Make it so that our
folks, nobody can hear.
3 minutes. Isn't that what it is?
3 minutes. Okay.
Improve our property values, more amenities so people want to buy, so the property values go up, make it better so that our families want to visit, instead of doing just for one, do for all?
I wish we could, sir. If we have a complaint, when the pools are upgraded, we have to have them ADA compliant, That is a federal law. And if you want
to. I totally agree with you. But out of the numerous communities I've been into, nobody has a lift in their pools. But we're going to get one.
If I'm not mistaken, there is one over at the
What was
college.
That, Carol?
Pool lifts are not required to be in any pool. They're there as a convenience or as a courtesy to your residents.
So
our pools should be ADA compliant so every resident can get into it safely. Therefore, we are required to have specific steps, specific railings, and specific guides and guards. A pool lift is not required. It is a courtesy. And we do have residents that would benefit from it.
So as a courtesy, the residents that we do have, and we know who they are, we've also helped them get in and out of the pool. Right. And instead of having to put this great expense that you're looking to do, we could have a jacuzzi put in for all of us that have a bad back or other.
We can still have that.
But a jacuzzi is not necessary.
Well, thank you. Your time's up, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Brooks?
Ma'am?
May I say something?
Yes.
This is not, and I've kind of changed my way of thinking on this. With the lift, this is not just for permanently disabled people. This is for people that have had knee replacements, that have had hip replacements, that have had shoulder replacements. It's not just for permanent disabled people. It's for people that need the temporary assistance. It doesn't mean we're assisted living. It doesn't mean that we're here to just accommodate people that are permanently disabled. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Can we get the AC? I don't want these people falling over.
Okay. Please. Okay, Sharon Schmidt, 1055 Sunflower. With respect to the lift, my late husband was a quadriplegic, so I totally understand disability, okay, and the need to be compliant. However, I also see a lift as a liability because we all have visitors, and a lot of times they come with children. And if anybody's ever looked around, do all kids listen to grandma and grandpa? Nope. Now you know that those kids are going to try and use the lift. Who's going to fall and break a leg? Okay? That's just my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, we're moving on.
Thank you.
Oh, we don't have to vote on that.
No, you don't have to vote on that.
Okay. Okay. We're on the workshop items finally.
Excuse me, Chairman. I would like to make a note. I don't know if Mr. Goblick did leave the meeting permanently or if he had to step out. Did he leave permanently?
He had to take care of his wife.
All right, Mr. Goblick has left it. Did leave the meeting at 7:55 p.m. That will be noted in the minutes.
Thank you, Carol. I apologize for not seeing him leave.
Now we're ready to move on.
Okay. The first workshop item is Gary is going to review the proposals for adding gutters to the clubhouse. He'll tell you why and everything else.
Okay. We did have Sandy Effects Environmental analyze, take three samples and send them to a lab in Texas, and it's definitely mold. I provided the documents to all the trustees. It's been 6 weeks. It's an 18-page comprehensive report. Now, we could see that it was running off the roof. So there's 40 feet of gutter missing out there and 40 feet that exists in the pool area. I got three bids, but also while getting those bids, we looked at the front, Jose and I, and saw that those three gutters are coming down too. So we had a bid made for the three out front under where you drive under, two of them and one on the wall there. And I got three bids. They're all owner operator companies. And if it was my decision, I would go with Skyline Gutters, the first one. When he came here 2 hours later, he left. I had the quote in my hands. It's $1,800. going to put in 40 feet of new gutter, actually 85 feet, two new downspouts. They're going to be color matched to the building and the side of the building, so the downspouts will be slightly yellow, you know, as best he can match it. Same out front. We have another bid that's $95 higher, but I wouldn't go with that company, Coastal, because it took me 7 contacts to get a price out of him. It took 2 weeks. He sent the wrong one to begin with. I'm not going to deal with him or be responsible if we select him. And there's another one that's 21% higher than that, Royal T Gutters. So I was really impressed with Skyline at $1,800 to replace all the gutters, all the downspouts. These are not, they won't use nails like we've got out there. They're internal brackets, 3-inch screws. So it's going to look like crown molding. No visible hardware from outside. And he'll come with his own seamless gutter machine, make the gutters on site, and install the gutters. And he's probably 2-3 weeks out. And that'll have to, he'll have to get the PO if we approve it through Cherie. I just got the prices. But I would recommend Skyline at $1,800 rather than someone else at $1,704 and someone else at $2,190. And I let him know he'd get the order, all of them, to do, you know, to do them all at once.
Gary,
they all
which
own
one
the company, so it was pretty, and they're all going to use the exact same methods too, same hardware, everything. So,
did they say when they could get it done and how long it would take?
He told me when I got his price 6 weeks ago, he's 2 weeks out. So I imagine he's still about 2 weeks out.
All right. So that the residents are aware of this, it does state on the quote that all materials are backed by a 20-year manufacturer's limited warranty and all SSRG workmanship from the company will be backed by a 5-year warranty. So we would have 5 years on the workmanship and 20 years on the product. That's a pretty decent warranty from a company.
And they're pre-painted, and the manufacturer, Alcoa Aluminum, guarantees the paint for 50 years. But, you know, that's... but at least it'll last a long time. We'll never have to paint it.
Okay.
I would like to make a motion that we accept the Skyline proposal of $1,800 to do the gutters, as presented, with the stipulation that the work be done within a timely manner and as per the guidelines of the direction of the board.
Yes, and no permit is needed to do that.
I second the motion. Keith.
Oh, one quick comment. This should collect nearly 100% of what's running off the main roof coming out from under our 16 solar panels up there, which is the source of this black mold. And it'll all be sent to that sump that Cherie mentioned earlier, as best I know.
Trustees' comments? Public have anything to say? All in favor of accepting the motion? Raise your right hand.
7 yes.
7 yes.
0 no. Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. Thanks for the effort.
Okay, I'll get that to Cherie tomorrow.
Don't forget.
Make sure you sign the contract. And I'd like a date that they plan on completing it, too.
Sure.
Thank you. We have a proposal from the ACC that Ron Hall, yeah. Boy, that took me back to way back. He used to plow snow in my driveway. Ron Foote, just a little background on this. Paul, who was a liaison with ACC, asked if I could meet with him and Ron, because they were having some issues on some things. We had a general, and I emphasize a very general discussion, and Paul left, and I decided I would write a proposal first. Then I made a mistake I asked Gary to read it over, and that voided the sunshine law. And so here he is. He took it over. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, what this amendment's for is to change the well, I'll just read what I got. It's the following is a temporary amendment to the ACC rules and regulations, which will be discussed on February 28th, 2022, trustees meeting. The Architectural Control Committee, hereby known as the ACC, shall by a majority agreement and the direction or discretion determine if more than 30 days will be allowed for a violation to be addressed and corrected. The ACC will recommend when and if a fine will be imposed for certain violations to the Board of Trustees and to the district manager. The ACC board would provide the Board of Trustees and the district manager with the names and addresses of violators and the ACC reasons for postponing the enforcement. Depending on the degree of the violation, this can be handled by the Board of Trustees liaison to the ACC or by the ACC to the Board of Trustees. The first letter sent out to the violator will be sent by first class mail. Second letter requesting a hearing will be sent by certified mail as stated in the newest deed restrictions under Article 17. The ACC board requests that one ACC member be appointed to the enforcement hearing committee. If this is approved, it should be put into, added to page one of the ACC rules and regulations under violations for approval by the Board of Trustees and the ACC board has voted to approve this amendment submitted by Ron Foote, chairman of the ACC board. There's a little bit maybe background for you. The reason we want this change is we are a senior citizen group, like, you know, it's a 55 and older crew, and some of us are on really limited income. And if all of a sudden we say you got 30 days to correct a violation, well, maybe you didn't realize you need to have your house power washed. And it might cause somebody financial hardship. And we're looking out to protect the community so that, you know, maybe if they know we send them a letter in April, maybe they know maybe May or June they're going to have their money to do the power washing because that's usually the most expensive one. And that way they would have a chance to do it without having to have a hardship. And that's why we're proposing this change to the rules. There's any questions for me or?
Yeah, Ron. Oh, I have one question. Are you asking to be able to amend the time period a little longer, but you'll pretty much give them the 30 days if they can meet it, if you think they can meet it?
Yeah, if they need more than 30 days, they need to contact the committee, and then we could.
So you're showing leniency, not more toughness.
Yeah. Right. We want to give them a better chance to.
So you won't come up. I'm just in that word. You've answered my question. You won't come up and say you got 2 weeks to do it because you're mad at somebody. You'll just say, yeah.
No, and it's for the people, too. The ACC board would really like to have a list of people that aren't full-time residents so that when we do send out more letters that we have a chance to, if we know people are going to be up north or out west or out east, wherever they go to from here, if we know a time period they're going to be gone, maybe we'll inspect their house before they're gone so we don't have to have a problem during the summertime getting a letter while they're not here.
And also what you have on there doesn't eliminate the fact that you can talk to them before the letter, too.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, one of the things that was pointed out when Ron and Paul and I discussed was if they had sent out all those violations originally as certified letters, if I'm not mistaken, that was over $5,000, wasn't it, Ron?
Well, I understand. I don't know for a fact, but I understand to send a registered letter is almost $10 a letter. And we had 500 letters, so that'd be $5,000.
Yeah. So, and you know, you folks that are up north during the summer, we got to give you more time. I mean, you're playing golf and you're playing with the grandkids, and this becomes a low priority. But you still have to do it, and please have somebody looking after your place when you go. I think we have a form somewhere on the website that you can fill out. You got to help us. So
Ron.
Yes, Terry.
Are you saying
30 days after the first letter.
Can't hear you.
Are you saying for... Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Use Paul's.
Try Paul's.
So are you saying 30 days for the first letter and then 30 days for the second letter?
No, we're asking that, you know, the majority of the people that are here, 30 days will be enough. There's going to be some excuses or reasons that they can't confide in the 30 days. And we want to have the right to be able to extend it for them to make it easier for them to meet the requirements. Because, you know, not everybody can do it in 30 days. Like I said, some of their budgets aren't set up to all of a sudden be jacked up for $150 to power wash their house. And if they have additional time, they'd send to our board or to the trustee board that they need more time, this will give them the chance to get more time to comply with the with their violation. We're just trying to be fair to the residents.
Thank you.
Gary?
Testing.
Ron, you and your committee have done an incredible job. 520 letters, I believe, went out. 80% approximate compliance already. You've used excellent discretion up to now. Some of them couldn't even get down here because of travel restrictions from COVID and Canada and various things. I think we need to give you all the latitude you need so you can keep doing your job and showing the compassion to the residents that you've already shown. We're lucky to have you doing this, Ron. You've done a heck of a job. So if time is needed by residents and you got it.
Go ahead, Mark.
Is this going to come under the Section 17 enforcement where it says if a fine imposed pursuant to this section shall become a lien upon the owner's property if the violation of the deed restriction ACC rules or reasonable rules of the district found, the district manager shall notify the violator and give him her 30 days to correct the violation.
You know, it's going underneath the ACC rules and regulations underneath the first page of it. Have you got the, let me show you.
I like your shoe, Dave.
Yeah, I want to, Dave Curtis, 1130 Central Court, and I'm on the AC with Ron. It says here that this is kind of cut and final, and we need to correct the thing in the hearing on about the certified letters going out, and it's not, it's cut and dry, 30 days. We've got to make the changes. This has got to come out and be softened up a little bit. Ron, am I getting this right? Because I don't want to give them the wrong information. First letter, 30 days. Then not corrected, hearing certified. I don't think that's right.
And I think that's part of what we're trying to address in this.
Yeah, well, all I'm saying is we got to have something to work with here. And right now, the way it stands, our hands are tied, and everything falls on you guys. Yeah. So if we can smooth it out, take the load off, each one of us can take, let's say we got 15 offenders, five of us can take three apiece, and we can follow this and make sure it gets done. We got neighbors helping neighbors and the whole bit. This thing can't be just cut and dry. It can't be, you know, $100 here, $50 there. That's it. We got to change it.
I understand that, but I'm looking at the deed restrictions, and it doesn't agree with what's in the deed restrictions.
That's right. That is part of the problem. This thing was run through. It was never brought to us. It was, you guys had no information whatsoever when this was done, and you didn't want to collaborate. So we're trying to fix it now.
So my question is, do we need to change it under the enforcement section of the deed restrictions so that they agree?
Yes. You're not in agreement with anything. If we get to smooth this whole thing out, you got to get with Ron on the particulars, but we got to do it.
I understand that. I'm just saying the amendment you want to make is not agreeing with what's in our deed restrictions right now.
That's what we're trying to say. We've got to get this changed out. We're asking for a vote is what we're asking.
If you change under the ACC rules and regulations, should it not agree with the deed restrictions?
Yes. And
if we change this to what you want to have it, then we also need to change the deed restrictions.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
What we're asking for is a temporary. It's not something, a permanent one. That way when we do, or when you folks decide you want to do more deed restriction changes in it, that this would just be a temporary Band-Aid until the board decides to do more deed restriction.
Okay, I understand now.
That's what we're trying to do now, just a Band-Aid until it's time to do more deed restrictions.
Thank you.
And this will be on a case-by-case basis. It's not going to happen for everybody. It's going to be dependent upon the circumstance and what's going on.
Correct. That's what we're asking for, is to be able to just review and say, you know, okay, you're not going to be here for 30 days, you know, or I can't afford it. You know, it's not just to extend everybody because they don't feel like doing it. It's going to be based on a case by case, and they're still going to have the right, if they don't agree what the ACC says, to go to the board. So,
okay, just so it's on maybe some. If this went into the deed restrictions, we would have to send all the letters out like we did before. Y'all would have to vote on it. Now, this is something to keep the ACC together and allow them a little more latitude. That's why he's requesting it in the ACC rules on a temporary basis. When, and it won't be this year, next year or the year after, somebody decides they want to do deed restriction updates, then that would be put into that or voted upon. But this is circumventing. And believe me, there's one more that's coming up that's causing all sorts of problems in the office. But we'll bring that up at a later date. Thank you, Ron. Betty?
Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Wait. Do we need to vote on this?
No. Becky Ernest, 205 Burrell Circle. Whatever you do needs to be posted for 10 days before you can vote on it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Let's get this on the agenda for next meeting.
Yeah. All right, well.
Day Pack 1014 Willow Court. I'm going to just start by saying a point of order. We went from old business. We didn't do anything on stage one. We didn't do anything on the fines. All of a sudden, we're doing an ACC report.
No, we're not on ACC report.
Oh, okay. Then
we're on the ACC proposal.
Okay. This proposal was not in the agenda. You wanted it in, it should have been put in on your comments in the beginning, the chairman's comments. It was not put in there.
You're right, and I missed that.
Okay. So then, furthermore, on the Sunshine Laws, it is, I'm not going to say illegal, but it is highly recommended that when you try to put something in ad hoc like this, it should not be voted on at that meeting. You can discuss it. You can talk about it all you want, but no, it should not be voted on.
Okay.
Okay. That's the.
Thanks, David. I appreciate it.
So are you, I just want to make sure that I clarify for the minutes properly, Mr. Peck, because this was not on the agenda, should it even show in the minutes that it was discussed, because it has not been posted? Has it been posted, Mr. Foote? Was it posted?
Yes, it was.
So if it was posted, we could have brought it up under a different area, but not under the workshop item because it wasn't a workshop topic.
I'll get you the information.
It was posted on the board.
China.
We had problems with the website. And it was not posted for 10 days.
I'll get you where I'm sorry. The Sunshine Law there. Okay. And I'm going to go back 2017. We did a sweep of violations for the park. It was all the ACC board. It was all the trustees. Everyone took apart, went around to different places. After that was done, that whole list of another 400 was compiled and given to the district manager. That was Mike Lawler at the time. He handled it from there. It was not gone through the ACC. The ACC is a committee for you to help the people of the park. And to have them going around, I think they're out of their scope. Yeah. Once it's been identified, it should go back to the district manager and you folks, and you determine when and if a second letter needs to come out and when and if there's an extension needed. But these are all things in that amendment that he wrote today. Has it been gone to the attorney yet? We have a process already. What does that do to our process? This amendment, I don't think you can answer it. Nobody's talked to our attorney. I think you're the cart ahead of the horse here a little bit. I think you need to step back, get it in your next meeting, and research it further.
Okay.
That's mine.
Yep. Thank you. All right, David. Bruce?
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. There's some misconception here because we worked on a committee we worked on this stuff for over a year. We have built into the deed restriction, we built into the ACC rules and regs. There are places in there where people can go to the board for an exception. We have taken care of this. What we did was we eliminated the original thing that created the problem of the 30-30-21 or what the hell ever it was. The committee eliminated that because it caused so many problems then. I realize people go up north, but we also work with the board, this board of trustees, and the ACC board. It's called common sense. That's the word. If somebody has an exception, if they can't do something, all they have to do is write a letter to the ACC board or write a letter to the board of trustees, ask for an extension. We have made provisions for that in the deed restrictions, and I believe in the ACC rules and regs. We spent over a year on this. We finally have got it completed. Sheree has the copy of the About Us book, which I put together with Lori. It's ready for the printer. Let's get the goddamn thing printed.
Quit swearing. Thank you, Bruce. Don't put the GD in the minutes. We're gonna table this, post it for 10 days. I'm going to talk to the lawyer, and we'll make sure we're on firm ground. Thank you. Everybody okay with tabling it?
Yes.
All right. Boy. Okay. Next thing on the agenda is the fine system.
Nope. Review of stage one items.
I'm sorry?
Review of stage one items is the next item.
Proposal?
Yeah. Old business, review of stage one items. That's the next item.
You must have missed that somehow.
And then we vote on
the. Okay. All right. We're going to talk about the what I call stage one items. Do a brief, please keep it brief, update. We'll start with you, Terry.
Yeah. Everybody can hear me? Okay. So I was able to see the engineer of the Brevard-Tillman ditch, for a better word, looking up to see. Actually, I got the engineer to come down here. I didn't have to take my crying pillow. I didn't have to get on my knee in front of him. I did go to the place and talk to him decently, and he said, I'll be down there and we'll stay for an hour and talk. So he went over our drainage system. There are approximately four items that are some concern. One item that is a kind of a serious concern, but the other four items we could take care of in-house. Which is why I would like to ask if anyone has a metal detector, because we've lost a pipe. And the only other way to find this pipe for drainage is to take a metal detector and it's below ground and try to locate it and uncover it. And it's down there where the trailer entrance is by the gate. Raise your hand if you got a metal detector we can use. Otherwise, we're going to have to buy one. Okay. Done. Well, we can. You rent metal detectors? Okay, I'll look into that. Yeah. All right, so that's where we are, basically. There's probably going to be a point we're going to have to change the culvert down by the trailer park. Because it's,
I'm sorry, repeat that, sir?
Probably be a point we're going to have to change the culvert at the where the trailers come in by the gate.
The front up here or back here?
The one down there, the entrance and exit, right? Entrance and exit. I don't know what that one's called. That's got a name.
I only call it. About the entrance and exit off of the main road, not the Americana back here.
Over by the school.
At the entrance area or the back?
You know, the entry gate.
That's Cheswick.
Okay. It's called Cheswick Place. Cheswick. Yeah, okay. So I've never heard anybody refer to it as that. But anyway, we have an issue with that, and we're probably going to have to replace it. But first, when I rent that doggone metal detector and we find that piece of pipe will be in much better shape. And that's where we are right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Gary has completed his original one. Thank goodness. And I've asked him to look into another one, which I'm sure he'll be glad to bring us up to date.
Oh, I was asked to look into getting some pricing on adding bridges at the back pond. It looks like we maybe only need two, replace the existing one, and there's another one like it. And I haven't reached back out to the people who already gave us some pricing. They're quite old, but I got some new pricing on a kit. And a metal bridge, which is prohibitively expensive. So forget the aluminum one. But I believe we only need two. And I looked into buying the kit that we could already pre-drill, pre-cut, pre-designed, engineered. I got to check with the city on permitting and anchoring for hurricane requirements or whatever. So I still have to go to the city for that. But just another thing that came up. From the company that did the sample of the mold testing, they don't make this machine, but they sell a sanitizing system that can be attached to the air conditioning system. It's a pretty new technology developed by NASA. It's currently used in the space station. The units are $800 a piece, normally $850. They charge about $200 to install it on the return duct of the AC. We need five of them. There's five ACs in this building. It produces submicroscopic ions that kill viruses, COVID. It doesn't just sanitize the air. It sanitizes all the surfaces in the building. Warranted for 5 years. And they'd like to come and make a presentation, bringing brochures or whatever, but so that they can technically explain how it works. I did speak with them today just to ask them if they might be able to do it at our next meeting. It'd probably be a pretty brief presentation, but they're going to get back to me on whether or not they can. But they did firm up some pricing. So it'd be about $5,000 to do this whole clubhouse, and we would never have to shut the clubhouse down again. It would be the most pure place in the county. I mean, you know, these are put in schools and hospitals and all kinds of different facilities, and it's patented. And the filter replacement, it's actually a cell, is $150. We can do it ourselves. Maintenance could do it. And every 1 to 2 years, depending on how many hours a week you're using it or whatever. But it runs off the AC system.
Okay. Gary, the one thing that you didn't mention that we want to, the reason we are even looking into this is Right now, we spray this room.
Right.
I don't care how good they say chemicals that they're using is not harmful. Remember in the old days, GE, better living through chemistry? Look at us. This does not use chemicals.
Right.
It's a health thing. And that's what Gary's looking into. Unfortunately, at this point, he only found the one place, but he'll dig some more.
It is a patented product, so nobody's going to have the exact same thing.
Okay. Thank you. Mark?
All right. My job was look into something that I'm woefully unintelligent about, and that's headsets and wireless and wired to the system we have in here so that we don't have the problem with the mics. Can everyone hear me?
You said hand.
Headsets.
Headset. Okay, thank you.
Like headache sets. I've been working with a couple gentlemen in the park. In the beginning of March, we're going to have a couple headset fittings. We want to try one with the chairman, and he suggested one for either HPPOA or ACC or possibly when they're doing the line dancing classes. They would be married into the existing system that we have now. However that happens. But this is just a small part of a much bigger endeavor that I think we would like to look into as far as acoustics and our system that is hooked up right now. And with that, I was explaining to the gentleman that he would have to have a formal request before the board, and it would have to be put into the budget because it's going to cost some money to do that. But some of the things he was also talking about was having the system set up for hearing impaired, perhaps Bluetooth for hearing aids, and potentially wireless headsets that have volume control and have something that is an expandable system. And we would start out with maybe 6 and then be able to go beyond that for people that are having problems with hearing and that type of thing. But again, beginning of March, couple headset fittings, and then we go from there. And the gentleman hopes to have a formal request for the larger system in April.
Thanks, Mark. And Don says you're doing a great job.
Who?
Don. Each headset, Mark, as it was explained to me, they're not super expensive, but each trustee would have their own headset. So if anybody's thinking like, gross, I'm not going to put that on my head and my ears after so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. So just know that each person would have their own headset to use.
I like the mic right here.
Okay, yeah, Carol.
Paid for.
The project that was given to me was the kitchen, and the wish list for taking care of some of the conditions in our kitchen. And I met with the ladies from the HPPOA group because they're the ones that are in there doing all the work. They know what they want to see and what needs to be fixed, and we looked at a lot of things, and there's a lot of things that need to be fixed. And I came up with a few things, and I'm going to give you a little breakdown of what I come up with and some of their ideas and their dreams. First off, in the kitchen, top priority repairs. The hand-washing sink needs to be repaired and or replaced. The faucet over the triple sink is inadequate. It must be replaced. It needs a longer neck on it because we're supposed to, when we wash dishes, wash, rinse, and sanitize. We can get to 2 sinks. We never get to the 3rd for water, so it's useless. That must be replaced, and it needs to have a spray attachment on it. And we need more lighting in the kitchen. There's a lot of areas that are very dark. When you're working over the sinks, you can't see very well, so we need some new lighting. That would be phase one. Those things need to be done. That's not how we should do them. They need to be done. Phase two, which I call the moderate priority, are things that should be done but don't have to be done tomorrow. That's remove and relocate the hot water heater from the storage, from inside the storage unit It takes up all of their storage, and it isn't a safe place. It can be relocated and made it a little safer. The dishwasher. Now, I know people are going to squawk about this, but that dishwasher is outdated and old, and we spend a lot of money repairing it, so we need to consider replacing it and get a dishwasher that actually dries our dishes. We're washing them, but when we're handling with soggy towels, and then we're handling them again, and we're handling them again, they're not sanitized. So we need to consider replacing the dishwasher for a two-stage dishwasher that does sanitizing as well. Another item, our fridge and our freezers, the locks are up on the top, and a lot of people don't realize they're locks, so they go to grab them. They've broken the locks multiple times. We would like to replace the refrigerator and the freezer with handles that have locks in the handles or in the doors. Makes them more secure, makes it where we can get to the locks a little easier, where we have short people down here and the locks are way up here. And it makes it a lot easier to know that when there is a lock, you can see that it's locked. My phase three, which is called low priority, and this is our high dreams. The ladies would like to have a fryer later in the kitchen or a deep fryer, which would need another ancil system over the unit for grease traps and for air ventilation. We need all new commercial grade cabinets. Our cabinets in the kitchens are of poor quality. You open the cabinets, they smell like mold and crud, and I wouldn't want to eat off of dishes that come from those cabinets, if you want to know the truth. They need to have additional electrical outlets in the kitchen. There are not enough electrical outlets. When we were in there at Thanksgiving trying to prepare dinner and cut turkeys, we had to string long extension cords just to use electric, and that's not safe. We're wanting to see some kind of electrical outlets that come down from the ceiling, like in commercial kitchens, where you can bring things down where you need them and relocate. And the other big dream that they would like to have is to actually enlarge our kitchen. And I have given a diagram and presented it to the board of the ideas that they've got, and it would be well worth doing. I kind of agree with their ideas, and I think it would be an easy thing to do. So I did a little cost workup. This is just my analysis from what I did. The top priority items, the wall-mounted 17x15 hand working station with a gooseneck faucet. It is a wall-mounted freestanding unit, and it is stainless steel. Would be $98.99 to purchase, but we would have to install it. We do have people, I believe, that work here that are capable of doing that install. A wall-mounted faucet with pre-rinse system that has the hanging hose, and it reaches all three sinks. Those are very expensive, but it is a required item for a kitchen when you have to do dishes, because we are required to sanitize. It's $487.30. A Duke Sub Parafix 120 LED light fixture, which is what we would want in that kitchen for the better lighting over the sinks in the areas. And I would recommend doing at least three of these in the kitchen. They're approximately $135.84 each. The moderate priority items that we were looking at doing, relocating the hot water heater, roughly $1,000 to do that job, because you're going to have to hire an electrician, someone that's knowledgeable in making certain that your circuit breakers are set properly and the system is hooked up properly. A dual functionality dishwasher system. I looked at Noble Ware Washing and HT180, tall 280x230 volt dishwasher, which is a freestanding unit, completely stainless steel. You put the dishes in, it washes it, it has a drying unit, it sanitizes, and it sends them out the back. It is expensive, but it has a 20-year warranty on it. It's $8,579. An Avento SR2RHC 54-inch stainless steel solid door reach-in refrigerator with the locks in the door. This is a 54-inch, very nice refrigerator. It is a commercial grade, $3,339. A two-door, 49-cubic foot freezer, Asher, USA ARF compatible, 49-inch stainless steel, $3,683.70. I've done a lot of research on these guys. These are nice units. If we're going to have a kitchen that we're going to use, you want units that are commercial grade to store your food and safety, and they have the locks inside the doors like they requested. Our low priority are the items that are our big dream list. They're not low priority, but the ones that don't have to be done right away. a two-basket mainstream equipment, liquid protein, propane, 50-pound stainless steel floor fryer, or the deep fryer that they're wanting, freestanding, is $9,999. Excuse me, I apologize, $999. Drop the 9,000. I was looking at too many nines. It's like the,
she needs a new car.
The additional electrical outlets, the additional electrical outlets, enlarging of the kitchen is an unknown cost because costs change on a daily basis when it comes to construction. But from the people that I have talked to, with the new cabinets and everything, you're looking at approximately $30,000. So this whole budget, and I'd like to show you, if you don't mind me walking over there to give you a little idea, to give you just a 3-minute instruction on what they were talking about. It'll just take a second. And I have a loud noise, even though it's walking.
Thank you, Carol. That's very well done. Very well done. Okay.
I love a good kitchen.
I just basically been working with the Lori and trying to get all the papers to the auditor so we can get our budget done. Or not our budget, our audit done.
Well, mine was to try to find a means of getting quicker communications to you people, and Diane Bell sent me an email, and I'm looking into a new website. I've just started today on it, but one of the things I like about it, it appears that if we went with this particular website, which our sister park over on the West Coast have, it appears that we can get in where it would be a rapid response type of thing. It also, it appears at this point, because I'm setting up an appointment to talk to the guy. It appears that we would have more control within the house here. For instance, we noticed that something was missing off the agenda. We could go in and change it. Have no idea of cost, have nothing there, but that's what I've been working on, as well as a number of other issues. So,
I forgot to mention, this is real quick. Late Friday, Owens Distributors came in, and I just want y'all to know that they inspected the ADS series dish machine, checked all the components. Pretty much we have, during season, we have a quarterly service. So all of that was, the water temp was checked, the rinse temp, the chlorine, the timer motor, water level, fill value. Anyway, I have the report. I just want to let you all know it was done this month. It'll be done in 3 more months, and then we'll go back to a regular cycle in October.
Okay. You have anything to add tonight? Or did we pretty much cover it?
As Sri told you in her report, we've been working with the different pool people. We have went to see them. They've come to us. They have a convention this coming week or next week, and they will give us our final reports for us by the end of the month, then they say. So we're looking forward to hearing from them again. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, set. Let's move on to the next item, which is voting on the proposed fines system. I'm going to say what I think we ought to do. We don't have enough information. I think this should be voted down until we have more information on whether it's legal or illegal. Not only that, I think the dollar values that they've attached to some of the stuff is outrageous. But that's my opinion. I'm one person. Any other comments? Mark?
You have to make a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forget everything I said. They were supposed to make a motion first.
No. Only if you're going to table it, we don't need a motion.
We don't need a motion unless we are bringing it back up. We tabled it at the last meeting because we didn't have the information that we wanted. And if we still aren't prepared for it, then it still stays on the table until we are prepared. If you want to bring it up for vote to decline it, you can bring it up for vote to decline. If you want to bring it up for vote to approve it, then you bring it up, but you have to have a motion either way. But if we're not going to do anything because we still don't have the information, then it remains on the table.
Table. I think we should table it.
All right, then we'll just leave it in the table and move on.
And you will keep it into the, you'll have to keep it on the minutes until you have on the agenda until you have a final record.
Yes. And we'll try to get some more information on it. Okay. We've already talked about Gary's new assignment, so I guess, is Sherry Moore here? No? Okay. Well, I guess we missed that too. ACC, do you have anything else to report?
Is done by now.
I haven't got a lot to report. So what I'd like to have the homeowners that are getting in the next couple of months getting ready to leave, just look over your property. And, you know, if you got weeds that need to be pulled or power washing or whatever you need to have done, just try to do it before you go. And have somebody around the park that's going to be responsible. That's part of our deal. You're supposed to have somebody to be responsible for your property while you're gone. And the second letter has gone out today. And we're following underneath the rules from last year. So it's 30 and 21. And then we're going to start in the beginning of this month relooking at the houses again. And I think that's about all.
Okay,
and I would like to thank the cooperation of the park. We sent out 520 letters. We had 400 homes that we reinspected that passed, 120 didn't. So majority of it followed what we did, and I really appreciate the help. Thank you.
HPPOA, I was told they don't normally do this, and also was told that, oh, yes, we always. So does HPPOA, anybody here that wishes to speak?
Karen Carrero, 181 Holiday. I just want to say that this season, the HPPOA has worked very hard trying to keep events and activities going for the people in the park. Not a lot of people stepped up to the plate this year to host. So we took it on ourselves as a board to try and run and keep everything going. I'm sad to say that next year, the HPPOA is not going to be able to do that. We're hoping that we can get new people involved or older residents that's been here for a while involved, step up to the plate and host. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just step up to the plate. The HPPOA can't do it all. We have coming up on March 12th, Bourbon Chicken. The band is Showtime. Tickets will be on sale tomorrow. $15 for members, $18 for non-members. They'll be available Tuesday and Thursday. the free barbecue that's coming up. It's free to the park. You must have a ticket. They will be available this Tuesday and this Thursday. After Thursday, they will be no longer available. You won't be able to get them. So if you want to come to the barbecue, we're going to have live entertainment. I don't know. We'll probably do some crazy things as far as games and stuff. We'd love to meet the new residents in the park. Come join us and help your board out. Thank you.
How much?
I'd just like to say, if I may.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, there's dance-only tickets for the Bourbon Chicken on the 12th. It's $5. You must have your ticket ahead of time, so you can only get them Tuesday or Thursday this week, and then that's it. It should be $8. It's $3 more. Thank you.
I'd like to say that we really enjoyed the dinner you put on the 12th and the Elvis impersonator. It was well worth the time, well worth everything, and you all ought to just break your arm, patting yourself on the back. Mike, do you have something?
Mike Johnson, 166 Holiday Park. The Neighbor to Neighbor program, right there. Direct your attention to the chart up there on the wall. The Neighbor to Neighbor program on March 24th, 11 o'clock to probably about 12:30, is having a neighbor senior safety day. It's going to be right here. There's going to be some light lunch provided. You don't have to sign up. You just have to come to the event there. I don't know what to say, but you know, almost every day I get texts from dating sites and say that I ordered a Mac computer on Amazon and I have to do $1,500, and they get a notice that there's 10 $500 credit cards or gift cards taken out of my name. Somebody created a credit account at Walmart somewhere in Grand Blanc, Michigan. It happens. It's happened to me like 10 times in the last year, and that's because senior citizens, they have most of the money. I mean, people think senior citizens are poor. We have checks, we have pensions, we have Social Security, we have houses, we have equity that a lot of young people don't have. And you guys are the target of these scammers. You really are.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably already know that. But come to the event. It'll be right here at 11 o'clock. Light lunch provided. Don't have to sign up. We got a guy coming from the Palm Bay Police Department, the Community Affairs Director, Anthony Farmer. And he's really skilled at all the scams that people pull on senior citizens. So be there, be square.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Thank you.
Did anybody tell you to change your passwords? Just saying.
Okay, what you all been waiting for?
Public comments.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, this is
unpublic. Okay. The prior to public, if you want to introduce.
Sure. I want to read the letter that I gave to all of you this morning anyway, because it's more than just oral. Okay, on Sunday, February 6, 2022, some residents of Holiday Park gathered together to support Earl Simmons, a longtime employee who most of us knew well and have great respect for. We were, and still are, looking for answers as to why Earl was suddenly let go. We really want to know what transpired that was so horrible. A longtime, hardworking employee had to be let go. We also want to hear Earl's side of the story, and that's why Earl is here tonight. While Earl Simmons was the reason that we all came together, some other issues of concern were discussed. We would like to see a resident human resource committee set up to help with the hiring, firing, and arbitration of employee issues and give employees a safe place to talk without fear of being fired. A second issue of concern is the employee files being in the hands of employees. We would like to see them in the custody of a board member, possibly the secretary or the chairman. And lastly, there was, well, this one doesn't matter anymore, but there was a large show of support for Annette that day, and this is our board, and you heard all that earlier, so I'll skip that. But today we had over 100 residents here that day, and I have a petition with 121 signatures on it that, you know, we'd all like to see her all come back.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so I'm going to have Earl come up now.
No, Earl's not coming up until he can come up. Don't misunderstand me.
Okay.
He can speak. And you understand, because he's not a resident of the park, we don't have to allow him, but I'm going to make sure he gets his opportunity. I will make sure that Earl has his opportunity. Thank you, Joan.
Okay.
I want to bring up my involvement in this so that you have an understanding of what went on. And I've got some notes that I'm going to refer to every once in a while. These notes is for about Earl. And like you, what little I knew of Earl, I liked. He always appeared to be working. He always seemed to be happy. He was always helpful. So that was what I, on January 17th of this year, around 7 o'clock in the evening, I received a call from Earl, and he asked if I could come down to the clubhouse, that he would like to talk to him. When I got there, Earl was in the maintenance area, and he went on and said that he felt he had grievances that were not being addressed by either his immediate supervisor or the district manager, and I agreed to listen. Earl said he would like to go in front of the board to air his grievances, and that's his right according to the personal policy manual that is in effect right now. Nobody's denying that. Earl stated that the pressure he was under at work has caused some health issues. He also stated he tried to talk to several chairmen, but to no avail. Earl felt that Sheree was continually belittling him, and he said he was not properly trained on the equipment and that was required to do his job. He called his supervisor because of equipment failure. Now, I went back just so I can add something, just so I knew I was going to be right. I went back to Jose today and asked him, refresh my memory, what went on. And he did. Earl stated he was told by, I'm sorry. Earl felt that he was Sheree continually belittled him. He wasn't properly trained on equipment. Earl stated he was told by Sheree not to concern himself about the pool. He called his supervisor, that's Jose, because equipment failure, and the district manager later told him in a manner that Earl found offensive, he was to call her, not Jose. It was about this time that I heard a noise in the back coming from the storage area. And I asked Earl, I said, is there someone back there listening? And I also asked him, are you recording this, Earl? Earl said no, and I had no reason not to believe him. I also ask Earl at this time, did somebody encourage you to bring this up at this time? He said no, and I took him for his word. Earl told me he had a problem with Van also, which is the night gentleman. And he told Jose this. Earl said Jose did nothing about it. So he took pictures of the sloppy, in his words, the sloppy work that Van was doing and was criticized by Sharif for doing that. When I asked Earl if he would, when I asked Earl a question, he continually interrupted me. And then he would tell me what he thought I was saying. And he was never right. And I would repeat the question and he would do it again. Earl brought up some other concerns, but because I can't remember if it was this original conversation or not, I'm not going to talk about it. I explained to Earl that I'd like some time to look into this. I told him it might take as long as the end of February or early March because I had a lot of other things I was looking into. And I did tell Earl anytime he wanted to go in front of the board, I would put him on the schedule. In the morning of the 18th, I found an email from a resident that I'll not name out of respect for her husband, and I will just call her the email lady. On the morning of January 18th, I found an email from a resident, and I will read some of what of it for you. And if anybody wishes to see the on script email, just ask and I'll have it posted on the board tomorrow. She started out with, "Mr. Brooks, I'm fully aware of the harassment and mistreatment of our longtime and loyal employee, Earl Sims. I know he approached you as a last-ditch attempt to get placed on your agenda and have this situation heard." I'm not going to read it all. You can read it if you wish. But she goes, surprisingly, she goes on to blame everything on the district manager and the trustees. Remember, Earl said he's not talking to anybody. He also agreed to my time frame. When I left Earl that night, this is my response to her. When I left Earl that night, I felt he was in agreement with me and understood why I needed the time. If I bring it up now, I will not have a complete understanding of the problem. Remember, he's asking me to help him out. Just so you understand, and this is my email to her, just so you understand, if you want me to push this issue without looking into it, it could result in Earl's dismissal. You know, in this state, employees can be fired without cause. Now, I'm asking you a question. You are on the board. How come you didn't push this issue then and continually until it resolved? There are many residents like myself that respect Earl. I want all the facts that will, when I have all the facts, I will handle it. As I told Earl, I will get back to him late March or February or March. If you and Earl want to push the issue, bring it up in a public meeting. The district manager would be well within her rights of terminating his employment for not following the chain of command. I have to admit that I was upset with Earl. I was upset with Earl. And I still, and still was so when I saw him later in that day. I also told Cherie about that meeting, and her response was something like, "Oh no, not again." On the next day, which is January 19th, Earl said he wanted to be put on the February 28th agenda as he felt he had become a political football. I put it in my notes that he would be on the agenda, and I told him so. The first person I talked to after some time passed and I cooled off a little bit was I talked to the previous chair. I don't want to speak exactly what he said, but basically what he was saying is that Sheree needed to be a little more flexible, but Earl had to start listening to both Jose's and her instructions and not argue over them. The next person I talked to is Jose. My impression of his response was Earl had a problem with all employees, that this was just another trustee. Oh, I'm sorry. And I want, because I understand several other trustees talked to him. I only talked to Jose because I was told I talked to him and I talked to him, and I'd rather have them at the appropriate time tell you what they found out. I went to Jose this afternoon, to be sure of what he said about Earl. He was shown how to use equipment, but had no talent for troubleshooting the equipment. That was his problem. It isn't that he wasn't trained. He just couldn't. He's not equipment adaptable, I guess. Earl would also call Jose with problems, and Jose would come in and find an easy fix. So many calls that Sheree told Earl to call her instead. Earl was sent to a class on how to take care of the pool. And according to Joe's, there was an equipment failure. Earl did not recognize it, and therefore too much chemicals were introduced in the pool. Sheree told him not to concern himself with the pools, and Earl was offended by that. Earl provided the board members with packets of listing his complaints and various letters from previous employees. They spoke highly of Earl, as does Jose. At this point, Earl asked for copies of his file. It was explained to him there were other items ahead of his request, and at this time, there was over 4 weeks before his board meeting. So it shouldn't have been a real high priority. But both myself and Sheree assured him multiple times over multiple days that he would get that in plenty of time. I told him if he wished, I would review it with him myself. I believe it was on the afternoon of June 26th, I heard Earl talking to Sheree in a manner that if he was talking to me, I would have fired him right then. He was being totally disrespectful. And I'm going to tell you something. That lady was absolutely professional in her response to it. Whether you believe it or not, she was. And I've had a lot of experience in that.
What do you want me to repeat? All I know is going on. You guys keep talking. I'm listening to him.
I believe it was Sheree was trying to save his job. Unfortunately, he was listening to those that were coaching him. And by this point, the number of times I talked to Earl, he slipped and let it be known that there was more than just one person involved in his encouragement to do this. Earl, over a period of time, became more and more demanding. I told Earl his demands and his attitude was creating a hostile work environment, and he would get everything he wanted. Then Friday the 28th at 1:17, I got a text from Earl. And it reads, "Good afternoon. I just asked Ms. Sheree, can I review my employment file? She told me it was on her desk being worked on, and next week it would be available." Friday the 28th at 2:52, text from Earl. "At this moment, reflecting on what Ms. Sheree stated about my file, I'd like to request that she stops working on the file as of today. Can I have my file placed under your care?" My answer, no. When it's all together, you and I alone will go over it, and not before. I didn't know at the time that Earl had made a scene earlier at the office, and that he'd also called his, what I'm calling, email lady, who came to the office and caused a commotion, resulting in one office help leaving because of nerves, and the other one wishing she could. Demands by Earl and others has created a hostile work environment for everybody else that worked there. Later that afternoon, I went to the clubhouse, and Earl and Sheree were talking in the maintenance room. I listened outside the door where neither one of them could see me. Again, Sheree was trying to save Earl's job. She was talking to him in a manner professionally. He was, again, though his response to her, if it had been me, he would have taken his lunch and left right then and there. There's two Earls. There's the one we all like. And then there's an Earl that can't get along with any of his coworkers. He creates the problems. On Monday the 31st, I sat down with Earl to review his folder as promised. And I'm not going to kid you or hide anything from you. There was just one review in there, and the rest of it was all about Earl's financial problems. I was absolutely embarrassed because that's not what I asked for. By the way, since then, I have read his file, and from the time he was hired until the middle of last year, he was rated excellent on all of his job categories. There was notes that he, in certain areas, that he needed to do better on equipment, but overall, they were very good ratings. Something happened back then. I don't know what it was, but somewhere along the line, Earl had some problems. The next day, which would have been the 1st of February, Sheree told me she felt to protect the other employees, she had no choice but to let Earl go. And I agree. Sheree, through this whole issue, acted in the most professional manner. She worked hard to save Earl's job. And, I mean, you know, Earl, what he did, I mean, you can ask any of the people that he set up trays or tables for. He did an excellent job. He just was not capable of working on equipment. And they were all working around that for him. He chose not to. Losing Earl's job lays right on the shoulders of those people that coached him. There's only three or four or five of them, but that's where the problem is. And something else that needs to be addressed, because it's been brought up multiple times to me. Well before Earl's problems came up, Sheree said she was going to start hiring some part-time people, one in particular, to fill in for vacations and so on. It had nothing to do with Earl. So that's, you know, that's the problem. You can hear it. You can hear the truth, yet you don't want to listen to it. So no one was hired for that.
Mr. Chairman, are you done?
You sit down, Joanne. I'll call you up.
Mr. Chairman, are you done? Personal policy manual. If the grievance is with the district manager, the employee may take the written grievance to the Board of Trustees. In 2018, there was a formal complaint filed against the district manager. It went to the chairman, Keith Richer, at the time. Keith Richer was not the board of trustees.
Pardon to this.
Just a minute. April 10, 2021, a formal complaint was filed against the district manager and went to Jack Emmerich, the chairman of the board, not the board of trustees. At that meeting, or just before that April 10, he met with Cherie and Jack, and he got an employee disciplinary notice for 30 days. All he wanted to do was to be heard in front of a full board. So now this is the third time, and he's been fighting this since 2018, to be heard in front of the board. Yeah. You said he has that right.
And he
never got that opportunity. And that's a problem. Now, on a personnel file, if I go to Cherie and I ask her for a personal file, and it's my personal file, she should go to a drawer and pull that file out, put it on the table.
You're saying, Mark, that you want her to postpone other work that had to be done, and a number of the requests for information.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
He went to two prior chairmen, since back in 2018. He just wanted to be heard in front of the board.
And if he hadn't caused the issue, he would have.
You're the third chairman he went through. I'm just saying. Now, you've gone on for 15, 20 minutes chronologically saying what's going on with Earl. Has he had a say? All he wants to do is have a say. Let him say.
He can say. I've already told Joan that he's more than welcome to come up.
But you preface it with 20
when
minutes
it's his turn
of a history. Let him talk.
Well, excuse me.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys, respect, please. In regards to what Mr. Boda is saying, I would like to comment.
Madam Secretary, please do not say anything unless you're recognized by the chair. Right now, Mr. Mark Boda is speaking. And Rick, I would appreciate it if you would put down. But he's speaking, Carol is speaking, anybody up here. You don't get to talk unless you're addressed directly.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, out of respect for what Annette is saying, let her finish too. And Mr. Boda, are you done? If not, continue, please.
I'm just saying, can you imagine the frustration that a person would have after continually trying to have his voice heard? Cherie can respond to everything that Earl says. She's a strong woman. She'll get her chance to respond, but he never got the chance to go before the board, like the personnel policy says. If you have a complaint against the district manager, you can be heard in front of the board.
In response to his comment, when I became a board member last year, there was a packet brought to us with a complaint in it from Mr. Simmons. I personally tried to address that complaint at a meeting and asked about it, and I was shut down.
He should have
been given the opportunity then, but I was shut down.
And I think that's absolutely wrong. I mean, in this booklet, it tells very quick, and maybe one of the faults is that when a new employee comes in, he's not given a copy of how he can address the grievance. Maybe we need to address that. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just telling you, I don't know for sure. And if he is, I'll ask Cherie. Is he given a copy of that?
Yes, they're given a full 36-page booklet employee manual, and they sign everything.
Okay, thank you.
I think if Miss Ocherite, Miss Joan, is she ready to do her presentation? And so go.
Joan, would you like to? Earl, bring Earl with you if you wish.
And before she speaks, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that this is out of respect for everybody at the table, but mostly out of respect for Mr. Earl Simmons. Please keep your comments and your things to a dull roar so that we can all hear what he has to say. This is his chance.
I just want to make two statements before Earl takes over. But number one, the chain of command, if you look in the handbook, says your direct supervisor, who is Jose, and the district manager, and then the trustee. So in my mind, he followed the chain of command.
But it does also say one thing. If he doesn't want to talk to her, the district manager, let's say it, he has the right to come to the right to the chairman, I believe it says, to do it. I'm pretty sure it's what it's in here, or at least a trustee on the board, which he did.
And you say that Earl has two personalities here. Well, I think when the district manager says, "Do you want me to pull it out of my ass?" Yeah. I mean, that's totally disrespectful. Too.
That was very disrespectful. That was very disrespectful, and it's my understanding she was made to apologize for it. And Earl said he didn't feel the apology was sincere. Am I right? Isn't that about what you said?
Let him talk.
Hey, folks, be quiet. He's trying to talk.
I asked him a question.
Good afternoon, Mr. President and board members and Ms. Cherie and the residents of the park. Good afternoon. I thank for the opportunity, sir. Mr. Brooks, I'd like to go back a little bit.
You need to get closer.
I'd like to step back a little bit on how you surmised what happened between you and I, sir.
Okay.
When I called you to the office and I explained to you what I wanted to do and what was going on, you told me to give you some time to look over the issue. You also said to me, I wonder if Cherie had everything compiled far as the files and everything. When you said that to me, you stated that, it told me, I said, now, why would he say he hoped that when you go to Ms. Cherie, that she has everything together? I said, is she putting something in the file? So with that being said by you, I was curious. I said, well, let me see what I could do to get hold of my file. You didn't say anything. So I text you. I said, Mr. Brooks, Ms. Cherie came into the office, and I asked Ms. Cherie, could I see my file? Ms. Cherie said, I can't let you see your files now because I'm working on it because you know we got this case coming up between you and I got to get ready. She said, I got your file on my desk right now. So I text you and I asked you, Mr. Brooks, Ms. Cherie told me that she has my file on her desk. She's working with it now. And what you said to me about her piecing things together stuck in my mind. I said, so I need to see if I could get this stopped somewhere along the line. So I asked you, I said, Mr. Brooks, could you please come up to the office and talk to Ms. Cherie and see if she could stop putting something in my file, if she is, or can you claim hold of my file? Now, in the process of me communicating with you, you didn't respond to me what I consider was a timely manner. So I communicate with someone else that I thought was a little bit more privy than I or aware of what was going on.
Earl, can I stop you?
Yes.
When did you feel... Was this one? Are you talking about
the first encounter we had, sir?
The very first time we met?
Yes, sir.
But you never asked before you called me that time. You never asked me to meet with you.
Yeah, I did call you, sir.
You asked me?
Yeah, I called you.
Right. That's the first time that we met.
Yeah, we met. Yeah.
On that
yes,
day.
Sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to. You kind of lost me there. I thought you were saying that you had tried to talk to me before and I ignored
no,
you.
No. I called you on the phone and asked you, you said you was coming to the office, came to the office. So with that being said, when I realized you made the statement about Cherie was putting the file together and I text you, I have the text here, when I said to you.
I got it here,
you
too.
You got to. So, and since you didn't respond, sir, because I was real fragile in the brain, I didn't know what was going on. So I called someone else, I text someone else who I thought had a little more knowledge than I did. Okay? Now, how the ball was going to play from there, I didn't know how it was going to play out. Now, sometime that day, I think you called me and told me that someone came up to the office and was making a lot of noise with Ms. Cherie about my file. I didn't have no knowledge of that being transpired. You said to me that I'm being coached by someone. I wasn't being coached by anyone, sir. I have a very small information on how to do legal proceeding. I have been a community leader, community board members of many boards. You know, I know Robert Rules and all that good stuff. So no one was coasting me. I just was getting information from people who I felt was a little bit more knowledge about what's going on in the park. Now, you made a statement also, sir, about my behavior with my coworkers. Sir, that's not correct. I'm a very agreeable person. Now, we all have many personalities. Okay, well, that's a fact. Now, Ms. Cherie called me in the office one day with Jose. There was a problem with Derek.
You're moving away from the mic.
Cherie called me in the office one day, something pertaining to Derek. Derek and I got into a misunderstanding about something because Derek came working here. He was under me. And I was suggesting something to Derek. He got offended. Ms. Cherie told me, don't say nothing to Derek. Don't tell him, don't give any suggestion on how to conduct his work here while, you know, we're working together. Even though he came under me, I thought it was within workmanship. Not only that, also being a co-worker to help someone move forward. So him and I got in an argument, and he separated from me, Derek. So Derek came back to me another time, and he said, well, Earl, I don't know why I'm upset with you. You was only trying to help me. So as he continued talking, he told me something about Dwayne. And I said, well, Dwayne? Yeah. And so, see, I have learned a lot of different personalities since I've been here with my coworkers. And I try to navigate myself through all of them. Now, Derek and Dwayne had an issue. It wasn't my fault. I just happened to be in the middle of it. And so when I told Dwayne what Derek said to me, everything just broke haywire. Ms. Reed called me in the office. She said, you're not getting along with any of your coworkers. I said, Ms. Cherie, that's not correct. Do you know what happened? She didn't even try to take that into consideration. She said, I was the problem. Then again, with Dwayne, like I say, I don't have the best personality. And I admit that my coworkers, I try to navigate around them. So Dwayne and I got into, Dwayne been there for what, 25 years?
At least.
You can't tell Dwayne how to do anything. And I know that. So when I work with Dwayne, I try to be quiet. And sometimes Dwayne tried to push you more than what you should do. So him and I got an argument, and I couldn't go to Cherie because Dwayne was my supervisor, right? He got seniority way above me. Who you think Cherie gonna believe me over Dwayne? No. So I kind of kept to myself. Now, Dwayne and Van got an argument during the Christmas holiday. You know what it was about? Putting up lights. Dwayne got so infuriated with Van that he threw something at this gentleman. So you would tell me that you tell me I got the problem? No, sir. You have to understand these coworkers. You don't understand the coworkers.
I understand.
And you just said that. You said just now that I got a problem getting along with people. No, sir. If you check my record, did you see my record?
Yep.
Did you see my reference that I brought here?
Did you see my reference? Part of your pamphlet here?
Did you see my reference, sir? I didn't bring in hate to this job.
Yep.
I came here to learn, you know what I'm saying, and to improve here. And you what you said about me, I mean, you have the right to do that. But you was false, sir. You know what I'm saying? You false. Now, I tried to, I talked to Mr. Keith, you know, which was a good thing. I gave him a letter. And he, if I'm not mistaken, out of that meeting, Ms. Cherie came and she apologized to me, right? Ms. Cherie came and she apologized. She told me at the end, she said, it was your fault that I did that to you. And I said, well, she's my manager. So I just backed up, right? This is what she said to me. I had a meeting with Mr. Jack and Cherie. And I don't know the notes what Mr. Jack took. At the end of the meeting, Ms. Cherie handed me a disciplinary form, gave me a 30-day probation saying I was combative, argumentative, and some other things. So I signed the form. Now, out of that meeting, I think Ms. Cherie, in the meeting, while I was in the meeting, I explained to Mr. Jack some things that Ms. Cherie have done. Like, for instance, let me back up. When Ms. Cherie came to this job, I saw a breath of fresh air. You know why I say that? Because before Ms. Cherie came, I was working on the Shawnee and I was working on the Jose. And the only time those two young men gave me any kind of grand opportunity to learn that pool system when they were going on vacation. At the week before their vacation, they tossed me out. All right, you got to learn it. That wasn't fair. Now, you quoted that I had a class to learn the pool. Now, and I say the same thing with Ms. Cherie, because she always brought it. Wasn't you trained? I said, Ms. Cherie, there's a difference between practical knowledge and actually doing the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? If you get book knowledge is not practical knowledge. What we learned in the class was actually book knowledge. And you needed to be fine-tuned along the way. That didn't happen. There was so much stuff going on with the pool, as y'all know now. There's always something going on with the pool. And there's a lot of things Jose just don't up and share. Jose been here before me. I have to respect Jose. Jose knows the little turns and things of the pool. It's for me to learn those from him. If he doesn't show me how to operate these machinery and bear in mind, you know how many times they have changed that system out there? Several times. Yeah, several times. Jose knows Jose been here for almost 15 years or more. You don't think he know more than me? So when something goes wrong with the pool, it was custom to call Jose. I called Jose one day. I don't know what happened. Ms. Cherie got upset with me. She said, why did you call Jose? I said, because Jose was always been the point of contact when it came to the pool. She said, well, you went against protocol. I said, Ms. Cherie, no one gave me anything about a protocol. She just was just lambasting me, just belittling me out. For what reason? One day, Jose left a note saying for me to ask the pool mechanic that was arrived that morning to do X, Y, and Z. Jose left two notes. But she re-went in the office and took the note that was on the desk. But she didn't take the note that was posted on the wall. So when the fella came out there, I went out and asked the gentleman what was going on. He said, well, you need to talk to Cherie because I already told her everything. So I came and asked Ms. Cherie, I said, could you write down what he said so I could memorize it and put it in my brain, my working knowledge to get it done? She said, well, you don't be concerned with that. You know, you ain't got nothing to do with that. I said, what sense did that make? I'm here to learn. You know, I'm not no nincompoop. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not. I came here to improve things where I can and to learn the people here. And every step of the way, so for some reason, Ms. Cherie just was stepping on me. I don't understand. Mr. Keith here, we had a system where the employees always received their pay stub, even though the check was direct deposit. So I went up to the desk one day, I said, Ms. Cherie, do you have the pay stub? She said, well, Jose, I gave him to Jose, da-da-da-da. I said, Ms. Cherie, well, Jose's going on vacation. He didn't tell me anything about the check stub. And she turned to me and said, what you want me to do? You want me to pull it out of my ass? I said, Lord, what provoked that? So as time was going on, I noticed that Ms. Cherie was a person that I just had to, you know, respect and back off to a certain extent. But it seemed like it was constantly doing something. Also, when she hired Van the other day, he's a new worker here, and she was under the impression that I was training Van. But Ms. Cherie told me, don't talk to anybody. That was my mission. I was here. I wasn't to share my information on Van and Derek while they were here, even though I was here before them. She told me, don't say nothing to them. Don't say, well, you know, just how you clean this or nothing. I said, what kind of stuff is that? I mean, it would be flooding to me. I said, why is she doing this to me? So anyway, so Van was not cleaning up. He was on night shift, and he was not cleaning up like I thought we should clean up, because I'm coming in the morning, and I expect the place to be clean because, you know, we, y'all the residents, Our job is to have things tight and tidy when y'all come in. But Van wasn't doing those things. So I didn't say anything to him. And then, as I know, he kept doing it for the whole week, then 2 weeks. So I started taking photos. And I showed it to Jose. Then somehow the information got back to Ms. Cherie. Ms. Cherie called a meeting.
Please be respectful.
She called
Please
a
stop
meeting.
Talking.
Jose and I was Please. In the meeting with Ms. Cherie. And Ms. Cherie said, well, who trained Van? I said, I didn't do it. You told me not to say nothing to the fellow. So how could I train him? If he's working under me or behind me, you told me not to say nothing to the fellow. So she was under the impression that I was trained, so the fellow didn't get trained properly. I said, Ms. Cherie, I have some pictures of what he was doing, what he was not doing. She said, well, don't take any more pictures. Just leave that alone. Then I said, well, how is he supposed to get the information on how to clean things up? She just left out the building, didn't say nothing to me. Okay? Now, you said that I was very loud and disrespectful to Ms. Cherie. No. Yes. No, sir. Let me share something with you. Ms. Cherie came in the office that day. It was twice she came in the office. She came in the office that day in the office, and I asked Ms. Cherie, can I see my files? She told me she was doing something with it, putting it together. Okay? I said, okay, Ms. Cherie. You came back later that day with Ms. Cherie. Ms. Cherie told me in front of you that she was preparing the files for the board. I said, Ms. Cherie, if you had told me that the first time, I wouldn't say anything about it. But you didn't say that. I have not raised my voice to Ms. Cherie since I've been on this job. Never. I'm gonna be honest with you, man. You have a right to say what you want to say. You know, but that's the way it is. You, the board president, she's the manager. But I have not. You know what I'm saying? I didn't raise my voice to my mother. Not even my sister. You know, you're wrong. Now, what really broke the camel, the squad that broke the camel back. I came in here one day, Jose told me some things that Ms. Cherie was saying about me, about my poor work habit, so forth, so on. I stopped Ms. Cherie coming through the kitchen the other day, and I said, Ms. Cherie, when are you going to stop blaming me for X, Y, and Z? She said, well, where do you get this information from? She said, well, all my results to you come from Jose. She said, well, we're going to have a meeting to discuss the issue. The meeting never came about. So what I'm saying is she's saying what she was going to do, but things were never resolved to the point where all she had to do was make a list, say, this is what I want, how things done. That's all she had to say. She didn't do that. You know, it was like, you know, whatever she said, whenever she said it, it's supposed to be like that. You know, I don't disrespect Ms. Cherie. I don't. I don't respect any of my coworkers. I don't do that, sir. So I wanted to come before the boards to let the board know it's been very partial towards me and probably any previous employees here when we had a complaint. Because if I went to the president, and if he's in favor with the manager, I'm still messed up. You see?
That's not fair on you. You don't know me well enough to know that I would never, ever.
Mr. Brooks, you just said right here, you assassinate my character, sir. You said I talked very rude to Ms. Cherie. You said that my coworkers say I don't get along with them. So that's not correct, sir.
Let me ask something. Gary, do you want to put in what you found?
Yeah, yeah. That's not correct.
You don't... Let me clarify. If you don't wish to, don't.
Can I ask you a quick question? Do we have to report this supervisor?
No, we do not.
I do have a statement that I would like to make. Since this has all come down, this is not gossip. This is spoken to me directly, so it is not secondhand information. I did have another employee come to my home. I will not mention who it was, although it was not Mr. Simmons, and explained to me that this employee had been threatened with his job by our district manager if he did not follow her step-by-step guidelines on what he did and did not do on his personal business time. Not his business here as an employee, but his personal time away from his job. That is unacceptable. So it's just going, I'm just saying it's going to show a pattern that maybe it's not necessarily all our employees, that there may be a communication error or something where we're not having the right managerial skills amongst those employees. And I have no reason to believe that this employee would lie to me. He came to me his own free will. I did not ask him to come to my house. He just came and spoke to me.
Yeah. Earl.
Yes, sir.
After you delivered your package to all the trustees.
Yes, sir.
Which was, I think, the day after a meeting we had. I did speak with four of your former co-workers in maintenance. Your supervisor first.
Okay.
I didn't speak to Sheree about it. I wanted to know, what did your supervisor, Jose, think? Because I'm under the impression he was your supervisor the entire time you worked here.
State that again, sir.
Jose was your supervisor the entire nearly 5 years you worked here, right?
Correct, correct.
Okay. And I spoke with Derek,
okay,
who's now at the front gate,
okay,
and been there for a while, and Van and Dwayne.
Okay.
Your supervisor did tell me that when trying to train you on equipment, you seemed to get the training, but then if anything came up, you couldn't troubleshoot it to get it working again. Only what he had taught you, say. So you'd have to call him at home for guidance, maybe, or whatever. And you did it somewhat frequently, in his view. And he felt that there might be some limits to what you were able to, he could tell you over the phone, or what he could teach you by training you. Now, that $250,000 pool system out there is something. I've had pools for most of my 30 years in Florida. I don't let nobody mess with my pool, but that one, if someone gets stuck with it, I might tell them to leave it till Monday too, or I got to come in or whatever. But none of your coworkers are real upset that you're not working with them anymore. They're not. Whether you think they are or not, hey, I expected them to be upset, and I was disappointed that you didn't get to come to the board on, I think it would have been the 14th. But you didn't. You didn't last that long, let's say. You were terminated before that, and that was a little concerning for me, but nothing I could do. And I didn't hear any complaints about your workmanship or your work ethic or, you know, how well you did things, except that you were critical of your coworkers, going so far as to take pictures. I wouldn't want any coworker taking pictures of my work in a bathroom that maybe I didn't clean as good as you. I mean, you know, I would rather they came to me and told me or something. But, you know, I'm just saying, that's not a good coworker. You got to be a good worker and a good coworker, especially in a state like Florida. And I hate the right to work law in Florida. I've been threatened with it at various times, where if my boss don't like the look on my face when I walk in the door, he might tell me, don't even punch in, Gary, you're done. That's the rights they have. It's not good. And so you have to be careful working in Florida versus many other states in this country. This 20-something work-to-right states. It puts all the employees in a difficult situation where they can be terminated for no reason. You sign this thing that you agreed that that's the way it is. You signed it. They don't need to give you reason or cause to let you go. So it's like you got to be real careful.
I never liked it, but I had to adhere to it.
But your coworkers, you're super polite. You're very helpful. I don't know what it's like to work with you.
Gary, we got to move on.
Can I ask something you said?
Yes, you can.
And I'm going to say it one time. Jose has been here for about... I have a trade in carpentry. And whenever I go to a carpentry site, and if someone has been at that site for 7 years or 10 years longer than me, Mm-hmm. That means they know more than I do. Okay?
They might.
If just say if you had an automobile, if you had a personal automobile that you worked on for 10 years, you know all the little ways to turn the screws and all that kind of stuff, right? You know that. And then I come along, you gave me the automobile. I said, God, dude, what's going on with this thing here? And I call you. You said, oh, you can do just do this right here. That's how Jose was. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No,
I really don't think. And for Derek, how long has Derek and I worked together?
How long have you been here?
Derek been here less than a year. Now, been here less than a year. Mm-hmm. So,
Earl, you're going to have to wrap it up. I understand what you're saying. But here's the thing in a nutshell. You were not fired for your work.
No.
You were fired that you created a hostile work environment and you were disrespectful to people.
What people I was disrespectful to, sir? I'm going to say it again. I respect you as the president and I respect Cherie as the manager. And you guys have your point of view, all right? So I know where I stand at coming in, all right? I know where I stand at. I understand that there. I didn't create a hostile work environment. All I did was try to follow the rules that y'all have set in y'all bylaws, and y'all did not follow the rules in the bylaws, okay? You did not, as the president, Mr. Jack did not, as the president, tell me, say, well, Earl, what you need to do, go to the board, your next step. You didn't tell me that.
I told you that.
You did not tell me, sir. I had to get that from another individual out here at the park on what direction to go. You did not share that with me, sir. Yep, excuse me.
Earl, I'd like to give this to you.
Excuse me for a minute. Is there any way could I get what's in my file, because I don't know what has been added to my file. Also, I did not receive any information about the reason I was terminated. I didn't receive anything so I could put in my file. Also, I hope out of this meeting that there is formed some independent committee that would oversee or assist in the way things are handled when it comes to the employees here, sir, for the betterment of the park.
Would you like this?
Earl, would you like to see that changed? Because the residents, and I agree with them, especially in a right-to-work state, especially working in this park, and we can decide. Hopefully, you have no HR department, and there should be someone you can go to without going to your boss's boss, which is this board. That's a heck of a way to resolve anything.
Gary, they have that right.
Maybe we can make it better for future employees.
He doesn't have to go here or there or there. He can come right to the board or any employee.
But the board
is... If they felt that they were being...
The board is...
Which he did. He came to me and said, Tom, put me on the board or on the agenda.
I know.
And I did.
But the fact of the matter is the board is the district manager... The board is the boss, or the in charge or whatever of the district manager who's over Jose. So his alternative is to go around the chain of command and go to his boss's boss, which is us. And I don't think that's the best situation. You should have some place to go where you can just find out, am I in the right? Am I in the wrong?
That's what you have a boss for, sir.
Richard, I just wanted to make one comment. When you told me that you thought that Earl had been rude to Cherie, I asked to hear or see a copy of the video because there's cameras all over the place, and I asked to be able to see that to verify what you had said. And to this day, I have never heard back. I put the request in on February 4th.
Well, we had to talk to the lawyer, which we did. Security tapes are not part of public records.
That's not true.
Security tapes are not part per our lawyer.
Somebody could have called me and told me that.
Yes, this is a public building.
This is not
This is a government. This, when this board isn't in session, this is considered a government.
The board wasn't in session at the time.
Okay.
Oh, Paul Diamond.
I wish he was.
Paul Diamond left because I think you mentioned to me, talked to me about how she's bribing him to run against another person. Unfortunately,
you know, it's...
I wouldn't get on this board if Jesus came down there.
Okay, thank you.
Why don't you leave?
No problem.
Harry, you're
so, Earl, let me ask you a question. What do you want from us? What is it you want? Why did you come here? Do you want us to make a decision about something?
Well, one reason
I'm talking to Earl.
One reason I came here, I wanted the board to come together probably for the first time to hear an employee complain.
Thank you.
Okay? Because it hadn't been done. It always been stop short with a manager or a board president. That's one thing I want it done. The second thing, I'd like to see a committee developed that would help safeguard the community working relationship with the employees and the board. And also, if possible, to be reemployed. Possible to be reemployed because I enjoy my job here. I enjoy helping the improvement. I enjoy Ms. Sheree to a great degree. I really do. It's just that the way she was doing, I didn't feel it was justified. You know, I tried. I'm a very humble person many times. I am, believe it. Ms. Sheree and I had a very good communication. Very good. I don't know what caused it to go awry. I didn't know. I just couldn't get it.
All right, so Earl, so let me say this, please. If we talked and we talked about giving you your job back through Sheree, we talked about that. That's one, right?
Yeah.
Establishing some sort of board which could hear employees.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I'm sorry. What was number three?
I said that to him already. Yeah. Well, number three was to get the board to come together.
Does anybody write this down? Is anybody writing this down? Write this down, somebody.
Yeah.
Write it down.
So, one.
And what was number four?
Number four was to be re-employed. Number four.
Yeah, I got that. That was the first thing I asked. Yeah. Okay. He's got these four things, which we haven't figured out what the fourth one is yet. That he needs, he's very concerned about. He is trying to help in some way, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
That might benefit us.
Correct.
Might benefit them. Is there anything we can go from here to bring those items into fruition?
No.
We definitely can. The suggestion was made in the town hall to set up some kind of an HR committee, maybe with a board member on it, a couple residents, so that all employees don't have to go to the board itself if they're concerned about something. That they've got a safe place like an HR department, which can be spoken to in confidence and maybe get some advice from. And if that committee finds, whoa, this isn't fair to this employee, then they could follow up on it. But if you wrote a complaint or a new employee writes a complaint, that committee could be made aware of it. I think we need to do something because the employees don't have anywhere to go except to the district manager's boss, which is the Board of Trustees. And that's... how that worked out.
You know, I like to ask something too. If an employee comes here and really loves it,
I don't know. Should be soon.
I mean, gravitating towards the people at Holiday Park is a beautiful thing. Don't make it uncomfortable for a person that comes here with a certain character that want to help see the beauty of this park grow. I heard a lot of beautiful things being implemented tonight to better the park. Don't run an employee that comes here with potential that could be spread around the park. Don't do that.
Thank you, Earl. Thank you.
Hey, Colin.
I think everybody is here tonight because of Earl. And we all support him. And we all think he should get what he should get. That's why we're here.
Thank you.
So, Sheree, you want to say something? Joan, you go ahead.
Please be respectful. I did what I thought was best for the park and the staff. Cookie, I'm sorry you don't agree with that. You don't know what goes on.
I don't.
Okay. No, you don't know what goes on.
But I've had issues with you myself, so I know.
Well, so is everyone else with you. At any rate, I'm not going to go there. I did what I thought was best for the park, there was a very uncomfortable situation here where I...
Hey, hey, show a little respect.
Where I had staff physically ill, staff threatening to quit. I have put up with this for 4 years of disrespect. You don't know. Yes, I said one rude thing and I apologized. Okay, I'm not going to get into tit for tat in a pissing contest. This is not what it's all about. I'm professional. I do my job and I look out for the park, period. And that's what you all hired me for with my 35 plus years experience. Okay. Number one.
Joan, you've been up enough. Let her finish, please.
We do not have to provide the videotape. Okay? We do not. The attorney said we don't. Another thing that I want to say that Earl.
We're done.
Another thing that I want to say is, you know, it's nice that people have seniority. However, if I hire someone to go out and clean ditches, I respect the job that they're doing 100%. If I hire somebody who's going to come in and be my computer programmer, okay, just because the person who's digging ditches has been here for a couple of years longer doesn't mean that that's their boss. Okay, it doesn't mean that they, like Earl kept referring to, they have it over on me or I. It doesn't work like that.
All right, let's.
There is a chain of command. Of course there is.
Thank you, Shereen. We're going to wrap it up with you.
Okay, my name is Liz Garchea. I live at 1056 Wood Court. I had some company this weekend along with my daughter. My daughter happens to be a lawyer. So, of course, I've had some people in my house asking questions, getting answers, and coming to this meeting tonight. However, the one thing that hasn't been brought up, and it's really bugging me, is that although all of you agree, or most of you agree with the job that Cherie's doing, I know Rick does, I know Kay does, I think Keith does, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not a liability to this park. You are. There are too many incidents. There are too many questions. All of the stuff that comes up about some guy being, he was promoted to a supervisor in the
can I end this? He's worked guardhouse. For 10 years.
Wait, let me finish.
Okay.
In the guardhouse, and nothing was posted anywhere else for anyone else to look at that job. No one else looked at that job. Nobody knew that this guy was being promoted. He's brand new in the park, from what I understand. He got like a $5 raise. He makes more than Jose. This is the stuff that's going around this park. That is a huge liability. Wait a minute. I have more for you. I'm saying what I hear now, okay? I usually stay quiet. I am saying what I hear. The other thing that I heard was that you touched time cards. Do you know that that's a federal law? You can't touch anyone's time cards. You can't switch. You can't take them out of anywhere and show that there was no overtime. You just can't do that. That is such a large liability for all of us. We're going to pay the price for that.
That's it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I need to say something, please. I have to approve the time cards, Liz. I have to approve the time cards.
Get out.
Whoa.
Had enough. Get out. Officer, escort that lady out. Joan, please, go ahead.
All right. Just one more thing. I've talked to some new people that have been coming in the park, and the first thing they see is our office help. And the office help is miserable. They project as the park as being unhappy, giving these people a hard time. So I don't think Earl is the only one who wasn't happy with his job. If we had employees that were happy with their job, they'd be friendly to the new people. And the new people come up and say, you know, what am I getting into? So, I mean, I don't think it's only Earl who's complaining.
Well, I'm sure there is.
But, I mean, I think we ought to do something about the unhappy employees as well.
Well, I didn't know Sheree. I didn't know Sheree. In fact, my problems with Sheree was well before I came on the board. But when I did decide to come on the board, I talked to my wife, and I said, and told her what I felt. And she said, if you're going on the board, you got to put all that aside and learn as you go along. And right now, because I've been made chair, I'm trying to learn what she does and what she doesn't do. There's a lot of stuff that I'm at a loss at this point. But understand, I've only been doing this for 2 months, and part of it's been tied up with one big argument.
Nat Regas, 409 Holiday. Here's one of the issues also around the park. In the time I've been here, I have never seen in the time that 4 years that Sheree has been here, so many employees fired. We have had grounds crew. We got rid of the grounds crew. That was her responsibility. And then turn around to office people. We had two women in the office. We spent a fortune to get those two women, because I had the records of all of the employment agencies that we were charged. They no sooner were here, and before even 6 months, they were fired. Earl's fired. Who's the common denominator?
Well, the boss. The boss is the common denominator. Jesus Christ.
Bruce, you got 1 minute.
Actually, the office staff couldn't work with Stacy. Sorry, Annette.
Yes. Gentlemen, let's not argue.
Why don't you leave too then?
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I take offense about the people in the office. Lori and Kathy are the greatest people dealing with people I've ever seen. I'm sorry. I've seen them deal with people. I got another thing I'd like to say. We have a lot of people here in this room. Why don't you come to all the other meetings? We had the lady from Spectrum here, and there was 20 people in this room. And everybody complains about everything. Come to the meetings.
No, sit down. We're done. We're done.
End the meeting. End the meeting.
Can I hear a foreign?
No.
I have a question. I have a question. If Earl was so dissatisfied with working here, why did he stay all these years? He put in complaints in 2018. I don't understand that.
I can't address the old complaints. Thank you.
Right.
She's got something to say.
I got it.
Can I just say one thing? Okay. I've heard many.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be respectful. We're not adjourned yet.
I've heard many, many times people say, stop complaining on Facebook. Go to the meetings. Make your voice heard. I go to every meeting. My voice isn't heard.
Your voice is being heard, and it's being heard tonight. I hear what you're saying. And I'm going to say something, and I may be kicked off the board tonight. But things that I have heard in this park and things that I have heard in the last 2 weeks are breaking my heart. But the one thing that upset me the most is from a resident who was at the meeting on February 6th. I wish he was still here. This resident stood up in front of all of us and specifically said that you offered him a home, would help him buy a home in the park if he chose to run for position on the board so that Robert Shortledge could not be elected. I specifically asked you one time, did you ever interfere? And you told me no. But this man said you bribed him with
a home. I swear on my grandchildren, that is sick. That is sick.
That's part of the whole.
Can I speak?
That's part of the problem is rumors.
Whether it's right or wrong, it's not a rumor. It was in Hunter.
I move for adjournment.
You know, the rumors are terrible. I was, and Annette, I'm not picking on you, but I had a person come up to me and told me things about her and her husband, and I said to him, "Where did you get that garbage from?" I won't bring your husband into it, but no, I'm not going to. Annette, please listen. What this person said was garbage.
Hey.
He tried to start a rumor, and I told him I didn't want to hear it, and that it. Oh, I found it on the internet. That it just is ridiculous rumors. I said that this person. Let me turn it.
Hello. All I would like to say is if any of you could do a better job than the trustees or the manager, go and do it.
Okay, let me just say something.
You fellas try and do half as good a job as they're doing. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
Listen, I came to this meeting tonight in support of Earl. I live on 257 Fantasy, and everybody in this room raised their hand and stood up and said that they were in support of Earl and that they were in support of Miss Annette, who was running for the extra seat on your board. And yet, every single one of you voted. And she was not approved on the board. When this whole room stood up in support of her, how could you, in your right conscience, not vote her in? Because she had everybody's support, and you are supposed to be representing the residents and what they want.
You make a good point, but apparently the majority on this board voted to remain divided.
That's why she's not.
What can you say? You know, I mean,
that's
the best I could.
What it means is that they are not.
We tried, but we were only three. Well, we did the best. I voted for her. I've tried. I did the best I could.
But
I'm only one vote.
You're representing. I know you have. But you've been on the board before.
That's enough. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to have respect. We are losing it. We are adults here. We're not a bunch of kindergarten kids. So act like adults.
Okay. I have.
I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn.
Mine's real simple. I just.
Either quiet or get out.
My name is Connie Chrisley. I live at 155 Holiday Park. My question, I just have a problem of one person doing the hiring and the same person doing the firing. That's not right. I worked for 33 years for university. One person should not be in charge of hiring and firing. It's not right. That's all.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That's what you do if you hire. That's your job to fire if they do something wrong. I'm sorry. I had 24 girls under me, I guarantee you.
Okay, I have something. Hey! May I speak, please? Okay, my name is Jennifer Rye. I live at 1270 Joy Court. I have three questions. First off, did Earl get his personnel file?
No, he was terminated before he had the opportunity to look at all of it.
He should have been given that file. Okay. So another thing, we as the board and people that live here, I was not here at that time, let him down. When he made a complaint against Ms. Cherie, it should have been heard by the board. That right there, you let him down two times. We let him down as a park and as an employee of his.
He was scheduled. Don't you all people understand? He was scheduled to do it. Anything I try, forget Cherie.
No, I'm talking about it.
Forget Cherie. I talked and talked to Earl to try to get him to understand that he would have all the information he wanted well before the meeting. He was on the schedule for originally for tonight, and then he and I agreed to do it on the 14th, which unfortunately by my mistake, I ended up canceling it because I didn't have a quorum. Just like we don't have a quorum any longer.
Okay, I'm not talking about this time. I'm talking about the other two times that he wanted to speak, and we did not listen to him. I wasn't here, didn't live here then. The third thing, your attorney, our attorney, said you didn't have to give us the video, but it would have been the proper and nice thing to do. Just because you don't have to do it, don't mean you can't do it. Be nice, as we're all hearing, be nice.
If you resign, I'm resigning.
You talked about the right to work. About the right to work, right? Right? Can you hear me okay? Okay, you talked about the right
to
work.
We are adjourned.
Let's talk about the employee's right.
Folks, okay. Hey!
The employees have
nobody
rights too,
can
even
hear
though
anybody.
The right to work.
Come on.
Right to work state. Can you hear me okay? I'll come over here.
The right to work law in basically all states